about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
In 5, 4, 3, 2. Sanders Show. Tonight, join Larry and his guests, John Lovett, Lyle Lovett, Steve Duchesne, and me, hey now, Hank Kingsley. And now, because we've tried it with just the desk, and it really isn't the same, Larry Sanders!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Please, sweetheart.
Why don't you stop?
Yeah, for about 2 seconds.
Beverly? Come on. You're going to get me started. And believe me, nobody needs to see that. You should have seen me at the end of Titanic. You think those people in the water were wailing?
Oh, God.
Oh, please, people. Come on. Larry doesn't want to have any display of emotion. He wants to stay focused on the show. Just suck it up. Thank you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
K-Rock.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
West Coast.
Roll another one.
The Riddler?
Just like the other one.
PETA Murgatroyd?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Where did I go wrong?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Hey now.
Roll another one.
Wow, that is a lot of Chick-fil-A.
Just like the other one.
What's happening to your nipples?
This one seems to be about to end.
Did you ever suspect you were really creepy?
I don't have another sense.
I get out of the shower, look in the mirror. I'm impressed because I look freaking awesome.
I don't want to guard that joint.
I'd hit that like a piñata.
Just pass it around.
What the hell is that smell?
Smell it.
I'll just pass it on down.
And now,
you folks see that flashing sign up there? Now that sign says applesauce. No. I'm kidding. It says applause. Ray, do me a favor. Could you flick that once? All right. Now remember, you're all a big part of the show. So the better you are, the better Larry is. Okay, now you see this gentleman? Now he's giving me this sign, and it says, "We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time." All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
Our feature presentation.
I'm sad.
Oh, me too.
Really?
Good, I'm not alone.
No, oh God, no. This one hurts.
This hurts.
Even you, little Chip.
Yep. Hello, Gary Shandling.
Yeah, you know, what had he been doing for the last few years?
Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Right, he did that. That was one day 3 years ago. What's he been doing otherwise, though? Had he retired, or was he doing behind-the-scenes work? I mean, I know he, you know, after he left HBO, I know he hosted some Emmys, hosted some, maybe some Grammys, I want to say, and was so great at it. But I just, it occurred to me that we hadn't seen much of him in a long time, and I just wondered, and I never heard anything about him having any kind of health issues. Did you guys?
No.
This was just so shocking.
Yeah.
They said he was doing great over the weekend. Everybody saw the picture of him out with Kathy Griffin and Bob Odenkirk, and they said he couldn't have seemed in any better spirits, happy, healthy. Was on the phone talking to friends on Thursday morning, yesterday morning, and then started feeling chest pain. They took him to the hospital. He's still alive and had a massive heart attack and died in the hospital very quickly. So it's such, It's such a mystery to me. What happened there?
It just could be congenital heart failure, you know? Could be so many things, but...
Just comes out of the blue. You've got no indication there's anything wrong with you. You don't see it coming. It just happens.
Yeah. 66, I don't like it. Though. That
66.
That's real young.
Yeah, that's real young. The Gary Shandling Show, of course, on Fox for a number of seasons, and then his groundbreaking HBO show, which, by the way, I just read this morning, because a lot of people yesterday were talking about how that show has been difficult to stream. It has appeared on various services for various lengths of time, but currently it's not available anywhere. There are some episodes on YouTube, and I think there are a couple of seasons maybe on Netflix, but in terms of watching the whole thing, the only way to do that has been on the DVD box set. Mm-hmm. But HBO just announced that they had already been working on this, and are going to bring it back to HBO and HBO Go. So you're going to have the opportunity to go back to the beginning and watch all the Larry Sanders shows.
That's awesome. That is really awesome.
I wasn't paying attention because I block you out off air as much as possible, Allie.
As well you should.
But were you talking about some interaction you had with Gary at one time?
Yeah, it was during the first Comic Relief. I was a kid, basically, and my parents' friends had something to do with the beginnings of that show. And if people don't know what that was, it was basically Robin Williams, Whoopi Goldberg, and Billy Crystal hosted this huge event for homeless, and they had all sorts of comics come together, and it was a huge, huge, huge deal. And I was at one of the first ones, and it was not a place for kids at
all. How old are you at this point?
Gosh, I don't even think I was 10.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I should not have been there, and definitely shouldn't have been at the after party. But he was there, and
Allie McKay was a baller.
I'm saying
the Hollywood after parties at 10.
But I shouldn't have been there. And he said, "Wow, so you weren't at the show though?" And I said, "Yeah, I was." And he goes, "That's not a good place for kids, because that was." And I'm sure he was about to say a little racy or inappropriate, and I said, "Not funny, like at all." And he goes, "Oh my God, you're my favorite kid." I'm like, "Oh, that's sweet. That's awesome." And then I had a total crush on him all throughout high school. I just thought he was so genius and so brilliant, and it's such a loss.
Such a such an incredible loss, and such a great show. By the way, I looked it up on the IMDb. He has done a couple of very small acting cameos.
Oh, Captain America.
In the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
He plays Senator Stern in Iron Man 2 and also in Captain America the Winter Soldier. And he also had an uncredited cameo in The Dictator.
He said Hail Hydra. He whispered it.
That was him.
Yes.
That's the last thing we saw him on. Well, it's funny, Allie, you mentioned Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, which is one of my favorite series on the web. I love it so much. And Jerry Seinfeld is such a great host and had such a good time. And if you haven't seen it yet, it's free. It's available online, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And he just goes out with comedians, and they have a cup of coffee and just shoot the breeze about life and about their careers. And I went back, as you probably did yesterday, and watched the episode with Gary Shandling, and he was so funny on it, wasn't he?
Amazing.
And he had this one conversation with Jerry where they were talking about their mutual friend, a comedian that they came up with at the same time in the 70s and used to spend a lot of time with, named Robin Williams. Now, when he died a couple of years ago, it hit both of them hard, and they discussed it here, and it's really chilling to hear this now that Gary is gone at only 66.
May Robin rest in peace. I'm sure, like me, you were stunned. I don't know how you felt.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there watching CNN anyway, and they broke in and said Robin Williams killed himself, and I sat there and I was frozen. This is totally true, and I was in that kitchen of mine. Then Wolf Blitzer says 63 is so young, and then I looked up with a little hope, because I'm about the same age as Robin, right? And then I realized 63 is so young is a phrase you never hear relative to anything but death.
Right.
63 is so young to be playing in the NFL. You don't do nothing.
You have to die in your 60s for them to say, boy, he was young.
How funny is that point of view, though? It's just
so true.
So true and so clever and so insightful. And we've all heard that phrase a million times. Yeah. None of us ever thought of it that way. But that was how uniquely Gary Shandling was able to look at the world, and how he was able to take something so tragic and say something that's heartwarming but also hilarious about it.
If you get a chance today, there was a show called The Green Room with Paul Provenza. And he would just sit there and kind of give you an inside look of what comics chat about. And it was Gary Shandling, Paul, Mark Maron, and Ray Romano. And wow. It is one of the funniest things I have ever watched. But then you kind of get this look into Gary Shandling, and he was a big Buddhist. And you kind of get this feeling that he was operating on a plane that was just, it was above everybody. He seemed very at peace with where he was.
Well,
and
I'm
it was
glad
kind of
that.
Nice to see.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. But there were so many wonderful tributes yesterday. Conan devoted most of his monologue last night to telling stories about Gary Shandling. That's worth checking out. But, yeah, a real loss. And, you know, not only a guy who was, you know, was a big star, but also, I mean, that was groundbreaking television he made. I mean, he really changed television, changed comedy on television.
Oh, yeah. Ricky Gervais said he's the reason for The Office. He's the reason Modern Family, it's the reason that shows that we love, that we're so drawn to, exist. Because he's the first one to say, this is what's going to happen on my show. And HBO was like, what are you talking about? That's insane.
Yeah, and it's nice that he was so well-loved as a person as well, in addition to being such. I mean, there are a lot of people who are great television personalities and influential in the business, but nobody likes them. Gary Shandling was the opposite of that. Yeah. So, I mean, just as a – I never met him, but just as a fan, I mean, I think you said, Allie, this one really hurt.
Yeah.
This one really, really hurt. So, we'll miss you, Gary. All right, we got to move on, though. We got an all-new Kevin and Bean show for you today. Let's get into that.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Wow, this show. You never know. Right? You just never know.
Right? You never know. Oh. Yesterday at this time, we told you about the woman who wrapped up the poop in her purse.
Yep.
She's on a date. She flushed. It didn't go down. She didn't want to leave it for her date to find, so she wrapped it up and put it in her purse. Ralph had a great idea, which is, I bet our listeners can beat that. I bet they've had worse experiences on a date than even that. So we're going to give you the opportunity to prove it. We'll take a call in that topic on the worst thing that ever happened on a date coming up later on today's show. The return of Johnny Chicago on the program today.
Oh.
My new favorite character.
Excellent.
I love him so much. Got an all-new Bean's Death Corner to wow you with today. And this is exciting. One of my favorite new bands is X-Ambassador. They blow me away every time we see them, and they're the nicest guys in the world. And they are back in town for a show at the Wiltern tonight. And they are stopping by on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show for an interview. And this is the best part. We'll walk them down the hall to the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock, and they are going to be performing live. So some live music from X-Ambassadors. That's happening at the 7 o'clock hour. All that and the Showbiz Beat when we return right after this on K-Rock. Happy one quarters Christmas, Ralph.
F you.
Holiday, man. Come on, let's celebrate. Jingle bells. Ho, ho, ho. Right? How dare you, Jeff? How dare you? No one's calling.
Yeah, they're calling.
Hold on a second.
Let's pick up the phone.
Hello? Yeah, can you tell Dean to go screw himself?
Yes, sir. We'll get right on that. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling
in. So quick.
Yeah.
I would think you would be excited about Quarter Christmas. Okay.
Oh, no.
All right, let's move on. Rob is here. Time for our first look at the show. Was being on a Friday, and how great does that sound? A Friday morning Kevin and Bean show.
Ralph.
Quarter Christmas. It's unbelievable.
Well, it's a thing, man.
It's not a thing.
Why is this a thing?
It's not a thing.
The March 25th. That's why. I'm excited. I mean, we're almost there.
Doesn't it throw you off, though? A leap year, an extra day? You probably think Christmas is the 26th or something this year. You're probably all schmageggied.
25th, 25th, 25th. I got it. It just happened.
When did there start being the airline mafia? When did that become a thing?
What do you mean?
Apparently, everyone who works for an airline is part of an organized crime ring.
What?
Oh, because of the stories in the news lately about flight attendants with drugs and things like that?
This flight attendant got popped at LAX this week, bringing 70 pounds of coke through security.
Just for personal use, though, Ralph.
Marcia Gay Reynolds. She was arrested after she turned herself in to federal agents at JFK Airport in New York yesterday. And 70 pounds of cocaine.
70 pounds.
And by the way, she was a sprinter in college. That's how she got away, actually. She ran barefoot out of LAX when they got her drugs.
Threw off her heels.
And just booked, ran. Just hauled ass. Former Miss Jamaica beauty pageant contestant.
Oh.
And she was a drug dealer. Now, that surprised me. But then I found out yesterday that Bruce Wayne Wallace, pilot for United Airlines, was arrested in Houston because he was a pimp.
What?
He was operating a network of brothels out of a series of Houston area apartments. The pilot made money charging prostitutes $400 a week to work out of his half a dozen locations that he was renting. And they, when they started arresting the women, they found out he was the brains behind the operation. So you got a pilot is a pimp. You got the stewardess is selling drugs. What's going on in the friendly skies?
Right?
This is awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Anyway, let's take a look at some of the showbiz news. Kanye West claims that his pop-up clothing shop, you know, he did Life of Pablo pop-up store in New York City. It was open for 2 days. Sold $1 million worth of merchandise, he says. He sold $1 million.
Probably not.
Listen, Kanye would never say something outrageous just to promote himself, Allie.
Okay.
That doesn't sound possible unless the things he were selling were $100,000 each.
Weren't
they just like jackets and T-shirts
for $500,000 a piece? So it actually worked out. But he's a lion sack of goo, right?
I think so.
Right. Congratulations to two very, very funny shows over on Fox, Last Man on Earth and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Fox announced yesterday they're picking both of those series up for another season, so we'll get to see more of those.
That Brooklyn Nine-Nine is one of the funniest shows on TV.
It's really well done. Always entertaining.
Great cast.
And yesterday we found out what we'd always suspected. Betty White is a cruel whore.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Ralph.
It's always
true.
Been the rumor, and now we
it's
know
never
it's
been
true.
The rumor. She's
never.
One of the nicest
Everyone
people
says
in show business.
What an awful, awful woman she is.
I have never heard that.
It was alleged until yesterday. Now we know it's the truth. Her caretaker, the woman who lived with her for 22 years to take care of her, is suing Betty for not allowing her to take breaks while she was working for her and not paying her overtime.
Betty White is a filthy old tramp.
Right.
Come on.
Anita says, I worked for her for 22 years, working a 14-hour workday, was not paid overtime. I was not paid for my unused vacation time that Betty owes me as well. Horrible, horrible woman. And so now we know the truth. And we always
I would like it. To hear the other side of that
There
story.
Is no other side. She's horrible. That's the
well,
only side.
Just because somebody accuses something in a lawsuit doesn't mean it's true.
And she would abuse her.
Is that
yes,
in the
would
lawsuit?
Chain her up.
Ralph?
Use
Ralph?
Her sexually?
Ralph! Now you've gone too far.
She Betty White also had a series of brothels in Houston, I've heard.
I think that's...
And was caught bringing 70 pounds of cocaine into LA.
Now, that's a story you just did about other people.
Oh.
Why do you
if there's one thing I'm known for, it's my muffin.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep. That's what she used to say to Anita all the time. And listen, dumb people on reality shows, don't be dumb. I don't know if you heard about this suit or not, but Alexandra Gadino is her name. She appeared on Say Yes to the Dress.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that show, Ellen?
Of course I do.
Why do you know that show?
It's a great show.
It's not
they
a great
go
show.
They go in, they try on bridal gowns,
yes.
And usually have a breakdown, and then they
right.
say yes to the dress,
right.
And everything's better, because they're getting married.
Oh. It's a show on TLC, and she's furious because TLC is planning to air the episode where she picks her gown out before her upcoming wedding this May. Why is that such a big deal? Well, you know, if... Her betrothed, her husband-to-be, sees her in the wedding dress before their wedding.
Horrible luck.
Their wedding will then be cursed.
It's doomed.
It's doomed.
Yeah.
So she took them to court to keep her
You're kidding.
From keep them from airing the episode before she gets married.
Is it possible for her husband just not to watch it?
Well, it's funny, Allie, because a judge asked that same question.
It's reasonable, I think.
In court this week when he ruled that she had no case. He said she signed a release that makes no stipulation on air dates whatsoever, so she had no recourse. And she said, is it possible your fiancé could simply not watch the episode?
Mm-hmm.
To which Ms. Gadino answered, well, yes.
Oh, jeez.
And then the judge came off the bench and kicked her ass.
I would not question that.
While Betty White held her down.
Wow.
With 70 pounds of cocaine.
She is everywhere.
She is everywhere. And awful.
She has a crime lord.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Aretha Franklin is 74 years old today.
Come on.
The Queen of Soul, of course.
Mm-hmm.
She can sing almost as well as she can eat.
Ralph?
Oh, you're right. It's my bad. No, she's svelte. I'm making stuff up. My bad. What was I thinking?
Why would that even enter your realm of chit-chat about Aretha Franklin on her birthday?
Because she is a mural. She's a human mural.
You're a horrible, horrible man.
Elton John, 69. I bet he is. Sarah Jessica Parker's 51.
Oh, God. Why today?
Wow.
She's very pretty. Leave her alone.
I wish her all the best in the Preakness. I think she's running coming up. Lee Pace is 73. Very talented actor. Jenny Slate is 34. The McFever. I still got it.
Oh, today's her birthday?
Catherine McPhee. No.
Nope.
I'm into the birthday list here, and I'm just bringing it up. I'm just bringing up Catherine McPhee just for the hell of it. Because she was just top of mind.
I didn't see it because I'm not watching American Idol, but they have been bringing back a lot of the past champions and memorable contestants. And apparently she appeared this week, Ralph, singing Over the Rainbow. And apparently she just tore the place down. She's still so great.
Really? She can sing? Huh. Who could have seen that coming?
She can sing.
I'm
and
stunned.
You have all that information yet didn't watch it?
Did not watch it. Well, I didn't know how awesome it was going to be until she was on. Until
but
afterwards,
you know,
when everybody
awesome.
Was raving about it.
Well,
yes,
you know she's awesome.
Awesome
anyway, so right. Why would you not expect her to be awesome and watch it?
Well, it's nice when people even exceed expectations when somebody like that comes back. You know what I mean?
So you enjoyed it. You enjoyed
you
her
loved watching
it.
Well, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. But I'm just saying she's a very talented singer and a lovely, lovely lady.
Rapper Big Sean is 28 years old today. Don't, Ali. Just don't. And Ali Makalka. Ali Makalka.
Is she from AJ and Ali?
She was, and now she plays Peyton on iZombie. She's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Did I build this ship
to wreck? You think her friends call her Flo? You think that's acceptable, Flo? For Florence? Or do you think she goes by Florence? I think she's formal like that. What's your guess, Ralph?
Not playing this
game. I'm curious.
I'm
just
not playing
I don't know.
The game.
Because there's some
playing.
People who really, they hate the diminutive form of their name. And they don't want to be Dick. They want to be Richard. I'm just wondering if Florence is like that.
He took off his glasses. He's rubbing his head. Temples. Oh, no.
Right. Time for the movie beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Big, big, big weekend. A lot of different kinds of movies for a lot of different kinds of people. Some people like good movies. Other people might like Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Oh, no.
How are you going to come at that like that?
Let's take a look at what's in theaters this weekend, starting with Born to be Blue, a biopic. A lot of biopics this weekend. This is a film about the reimagining of jazz legend Chet Baker's musical comeback in the late 60s. What if he had come back large and in charge? Right?
I didn't realize this was a fantasy scenario that didn't happen. I thought it was just a straight bio of Chet Baker.
Well, I believe they've taken some liberties.
Okay.
With this story, and Ethan Hawke plays the legendary jazz trumpeter. Trumpetist? Trumpist?
Trumpeteer?
Trumpeteer.
There you go.
Trumpeter.
Trumpeter. Chet Baker. Here's some clips from the trailer of Born to be Blue.
Forget what you always check.
No more jazz, junkie.
He's got severe trauma to the neck. He's lost all his front teeth.
28 years of practice gone. He'll never play again.
What did you do?
You're gonna kill yourself because you can't play trumpet anymore?
Yes. You come a long way, but it's not your playing that I'm worried about.
Miles said come back once you lift a little. I lift a little.
Yeah,
I want to see this, Ralph.
Me too.
I'm a big Chet Baker fan, and I like Ethan Hawke as Chet Baker, and I think I have high hopes for this.
He was so hot back in the day, Chet Baker.
Pre-heroin?
Pre-heroin, because then he got all sunken in face and his teeth were all jacked.
Yeah, started to waste away and died a bad death. Unless you're a Jew, excuse me.
You okay?
Unless you're a jazz artist, then it's a good death, because that's the way they like to go out, tragically. Speaking of biopics and addiction... How about Hank Williams?
Oh, there you go.
How about Hank? Country Western superstar Hank Williams. It's hard to appreciate how big a star he was back in the day when he burst onto the scene. A very bright light in country music and a very brief life. He drank himself to death. This film chronicles his rise to fame as well as its tragic effects on his health and personal life. Tom Hiddleston surprisingly stars as Hank Williams. A lot of people said, what's that all about? That kind of casting. And then they saw him like, oh my God, it's the guy. He's the guy. Elizabeth Olsen's also in this. Bradley Whitford also stars. Here's some clips from the trailer of I Saw the Light.
Congratulations. You have a son, Mr. Williams. He's going to have a real day. Not like it was for me. It's a brand new
recipe. You're drinking like a fish tonight. You go out on the road and you sleep with a different woman every night.
I need you with me.
You think you can treat me right now?
I can try.
Business is tough on marriage.
Marriage is tough on marriage.
You're barely even here. You're barely even a father now.
Looks good.
I'll see that.
You guys like some downer movies, man.
No, they're both such huge, influential artists. I think it would be nice to see.
Two are bummers. Why don't you go see something fun, something upbeat, something light? How about My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2?
Nope.
It's another Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Nope.
There was one before it, and now here's another Big Fat Greek Wedding that everyone gets to be all big and fat and Greek in.
Will her dad still spray Windex on his
cuts? I bet he will. Yay! I bet he'll use Windex for everything, because that was a running joke in the first film.
Yes, it was.
I'm guessing that'll be recycled for this completely unnecessary sequel that no one really was looking forward to or asking about, except for Nina Vardalos. Apparently needs another house or something, because there's no other reason this should be made.
The first movie. It's got to be 15 years, right?
Better than that. Got to be.
Really?
Better than 20 years since that first movie was a minor blip on the radar of cinema. And now we're getting another one. So everyone, go back for another big helping of crazy Greek people being all wacky and Greek.
2002. My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
So, not quite 20 years. But
wow.
Yeah. Here are some clips from the trailer of My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
Family's always in my business.
Keep your eyeballs open for a nice Greek boy, so one day you can make babies.
Florida, Texas, New York. These are the colleges I'm applying to. Why do you want to leave me?
Payback.
Who says a woman has to be married? You. All our lives.
The wedding is off!
To pull off another
beautiful
Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Remember, Paris. Protect the Polaki. Eyes open, knees shut.
That's good advice.
Okay.
Son of a bitch. Really? Are they effing kidding me about this thing? What? Who?
Those are all excellent questions, Ralph. And well posed.
I'm just... That kind of just takes the wind right out of your sails. It's like a solar plexus shot. You must, everybody here, protect your Suvlaki. It's like a bad sketch from SNL. All right, well, this won't make you feel any better. Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice opens up this weekend.
There we go.
Well, this movie is
on the big screen?
On the big screen.
Yeah.
And are they still sponsoring the Showbiz Beat?
Yep.
Then it is a film that is in theaters.
Is it in
this
color?
This weekend. It's in color.
And it in focus?
It's largely in focus.
Okay.
And
all right.
You get your money's worth, too, with a movie like Batman v Superman. Because it runs a long-ass 2.5 hours. And you feel every minute of that movie. So you're really getting a lot for your entertainment dollar when you go to
there
see a movie like this.
And
sit there and you go, how long have I been sitting here? Am I here a week? Has it been a week since this movie started? So you feel like, dollar for dollar, I think you're getting more movie from this film than almost any other film out there right now.
Wow.
And people have loved Batman for decades. They've loved Superman for decades. And both of them make an appearance in this movie.
This movie features characters that many people have loved in other things for a long, long time.
Okay.
So it's got that going for it. They're very recognizable names to the characters. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are actors who are performing those roles.
Right.
Okay. All right.
To the best of their ability, I'm sure. I'm sure they're working hard.
Yep.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt there. And I'm sure the people who wrote the script didn't want it to be bad. So they probably worked real hard. And I'm sure the editors, once they sobered up and saw what they had done to this film, probably felt bad, I'm guessing. So I'm thinking it's an upbeat experience for everyone. And really, really just... It's in theaters. I can tell you that much for sure.
I liked it.
That's a
promise.
You can see that. And Dave liked it.
And Dave liked it.
And you know Kevin will love it. If he were here, he'd be...
Absolutely.
It's got to have a lot of louds.
So it's... Oh, so many louds
really?
In this film. So many louds.
It wasn't just in your head screaming?
Nope. This movie has got many things in it.
Yeah.
And so there you have it.
Good review.
Thanks. Here are some clips from the trailer of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
He has the power to wipe out the entire human race. If we believe there's even a 1% chance that he is our enemy, we have to take it as an absolute certainty.
The greatest gladiator match in the history of the world. God versus man.
I know a few women like you.
I don't think you've ever known a woman like me.
Do you know the oldest lie in America? That power can be innocent.
Yeah.
You didn't mention Lex Luthor. He makes an appearance.
Jesse Eisenberg plays Lex Luthor in this film. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Amy Adams as Lois Lane returns. Henry Cavill as Superman, of course. Ben Affleck as Batman. And you know that line, as you see in the trailer time, where Batman is doing is figuring out the odds of Superman being a deadly threat to mankind. And he says, if there's a 1% chance of him being a threat, then we must take it as an absolute certainty. So 1% in this film equals 100%.
It's a leap.
So I enjoyed 100% of this film. Keeping with that math, if 1% equals 100%, then I enjoyed 100% of this film.
Good to hear.
That's the only line that's going to be on the poster with your name under it. You know that, Ralph. I enjoyed 100% of this film.
That's right. That's the most logical line of dialogue from the film, actually. So there you go. There's that film that's also in theaters this weekend.
The Greek Wedding's not looking so bad now, is it?
Boy, I tell you, if you're going to go see Batman v Superman, just protect your souvlakis. Because you might feel like you got kicked right here. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
All the way from Brooklyn, New York, the band X Ambassadors is here at K-Rock. We'll be interviewing them, and they'll be performing live in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock coming up in just a few minutes. Don't forget, you can still see them at the Wiltern tonight. It's going to be a fun show. That's coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's happening?
Before I get to showbiz news, how about tickets to a world premiere? If you've never been to one, they're really fun. And this movie looks very fun itself. It's called The Boss.
Yeah!
Stars Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Bell, Peter Dinklage. She plays a Martha Stewart-esque leader of industry who gets sent to prison when she's caught for insider trading. That sounds familiar.
Where do they come up with these crazy, unrealistic ideas?
Melissa McCarthy is very funny in this film. It is in the theaters everywhere on April the 8th. However, the premiere is being held in Westwood at the Regency Village Theater this Monday. If you'd like to go to it, why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through at that number will get a pair of passes to attend the premiere of The Boss. Well, it is a day of great sadness because we lost a very funny, talented man, but also a great guy from all accounts, just a sweet, sweet man who was kind to everyone he met. He was the kind of guy, and we're talking about Gary Shanley, of course, who many comedians say would just volunteer material for you. If he knew you were going to host something, Steve Martin said when he was going to host the Oscars, Gary called him up and gave him some jokes and some ideas that he had. And by all accounts, a very generous comedian. And that's not very common in the world of comedy. A lot of guys keep their stuff very close to the vest. But Gary was such a creative guy. He had so much to offer that he just would hand stuff out to his friends. Fascinating life. Started off as a... going to get into engineering, electrical engineering, but decided he wanted to give comedy a shot. So he moved to California to start writing scripts, and he ended up selling a script to Sanford and Son while he was working for an advertising company. And then started writing a couple other scripts for other sitcoms, like Welcome Back, Cotter, and such. And then after a car accident that almost took his life, he decided he really wanted to do what he wanted with his life. Changed his attitude and started doing stand-up. And he was a hit almost immediately when he started doing stand-up. Started appearing on The Carson Show, The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Carson loved him so much, made him a regular guest host on that show. And he was offered a ton of opportunities to have his own talk show, including a big deal with CBS. We're going to offer him a lot of money to take over after Letterman. He was offered Letterman's position on NBC when he left to go work on CBS. But he turned down all the big money to do something he really wanted to do. He thought if he could change the nature of television, he started addressing comedy on television the way he saw it. First with the Gary Shandling show over on Showtime, and then, of course, with the Larry Sanders show on HBO. He thought he could be happier and make a bigger impact by creating a fictional talk show than doing a real one. And boy, was he right. It changed the nature of comedy on television. Five-time Emmy Award nominee for lead actor for the Larry Sanders Show, one of the most brilliant shows on television. If you've never seen it, you owe it to yourself to check out the Larry Sanders Show. A terrific guy and a huge talent passed away yesterday at the age of 66 due to what they're saying was a massive heart attack. And, you know, we've lost a lot of greats over the past year or so. But I've rarely seen an outpouring of love like I did yesterday from people in the industry who had worked with him and knew him. And his passing affected everyone in a bad way. So just a great guy and a super talent. And we're all much poorer now for his passing. But Gary Shandling was 66 years old.
Hey now.
Hey now indeed. However, I don't want to bum you out, so I'll bring you some good news too.
All right.
Oh, this is so good. If someone were to ask me, Ralph, tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Oh, God.
My answer would be, how about a Spice Girls reunion tour?
Yeah!
That's right. They're getting back together. Well, the good ones are anyway.
Uh-oh.
You are still holding a grudge against Ginger, aren't you?
Not Ginger.
Not Ginger.
Ginger's the best. What's wrong with you?
Ginger's the absolute best.
Sit down.
Who's sitting down? Is it Posh?
Yes.
Oh, it's Posh. Okay.
Come on.
Who would you think it would be?
I guess it would make sense. It would be Victoria.
Cranky ass, never smile Posh?
Yeah.
Would that be your first guess?
But I thought the other four got together at one point without Ginger. Am I wrong about that? Did that not happen? Am I confused?
Look, if you don't have anything to offer, man, if you don't know your Spice Girls, don't start speaking up.
Yeah, this is your area. I shouldn't even be
Ginger
piping it at all here.
Ginger left the band initially when they first broke up.
Okay, well, that's what I'm thinking
of. She was
of.
The first of the Spices to
so
walk away.
So she was the bad one for a while,
she
then.
She wasn't bad. It was the end. They were finished.
Time.
It was over.
Okay.
And she just was the first one to walk out the door wisely because that was over. Because
she's
sit
a quitter.
Down.
Okay.
Sit
she's
down.
My favorite. I love Ginger so
Ginger's
much.
Ginger's my favorite, too.
Who's your favorite bean?
Sporty.
I don't know anything about them, so I'm just going to start talking.
No, I like the Spice
you
Girls.
You don't know.
I do. I just all I'm saying is I didn't know who was in for this particular reunion because I know it's never all five. So who's sitting out? You're saying it's Posh, and okay,
well,
I get
the
it.
Five of them did get together for the Olympics, and they did the short reunion tour.
Right.
And
right.
So now for their 20th anniversary, they're all going to get back together, and they wanted Posh on board, but she said no.
Because she's a dick.
She's the Betty White of the Spice Girls.
Oh, I will not have you besmirch Miss White.
But Scary and Sporty and Baby and Ginger are planning a reunion tour, and it's going to be all over the world. So just wait for more details. We're going to find out, but it's going to happen.
Now, are you all talk on this, or when it comes time for the rubber to hit the road, will you be in the audience wherever that show is in Southern California and see it with your own eyes?
Some of us, Bean, actually leave our homes and go and participate and do and see things.
All right.
So, yes, rest assured, I'll probably be backstage. That's what I'm thinking. I'm probably going to get myself a gig as a fluffer or something.
I don't think that's necessary.
Why not?
For this tour.
I think it is.
No. They're not shooting porn. They may not need a fluffer.
Girls, if they have hairstyles and stuff, don't they need someone to make their hair look big and everything?
Yes, I apologize. I don't know where my mind was going.
No, you don't. Oh, I can't wait. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Aretha Franklin's 74 years old today. Elton John turned 69. Sarah Jessica Parker's 51 years old today.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
Aw. She sounds so sad when she says that.
She does. She should be.
No, she shouldn't.
Because she has a face like a horse.
No, she's a beautiful woman.
If I was near her when that was recorded, I would say, Sarah, why the long face?
I hate you.
Sarah Jessica Parker's 51.
She didn't have braces as a kid, just a bit.
Oh, my God!
Lee Pace, the actor, is 37 years old today. I may have mistakenly said he was 73 last show this week, so wanted to
he looks
that
great.
Yeah, he looks great for 73. Not so good for 37, though. Jenny Slate is 34. Catherine McPhee is 32 years old today. Rapper Big Sean is 28. And Ally McCulka. Formerly of Ally, AJ and Ally, and now she's Peyton on iZombie. She's 27 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I couldn't be more delighted to welcome our next guest to the Kevin and Bean Show. We have been big fans for a long time. They are among the hardest working groups on the road today for years. They've been crisscrossing this country, doing their own shows and opening for others. They are ex-ambassadors, ladies and gentlemen. They are here.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Morning, you guys.
Morning.
So we saw you last at the Weenie Roast last summer, and somebody said, hey, when are we going to get on the Kevin and Bean Show? And boom, just like magic, here we are almost a year later, and here you are.
This is awesome. Adam's dream come true.
Yeah,
right,
so I grew up listening to this show as a kid. I had an hour-long bus commute every day from school for 12 years. And I would
from
always
where,
listen
where?
To Kevin
where,
and Bean.
Where,
and
your
from
radio
Studio
was just
City
stuck
to Culver City.
On Kevin and Bean?
Just the one station?
That was the only station I could get.
Oh, that is devastating.
Devastating.
Well, thank you for that, Adam. We appreciate that. We're happy to have you guys. So so much has happened for you, and I know that for a lot of people it seems like, oh, ex-ambassadors, they just came out of nowhere and just took over. But how does it feel to you? Does it feel like a long slog to get to where you are, or has it been incremental for you, or does it feel like there was a moment where it just exploded?
I mean, it has been a long slog. I think that the bands popping up instantly and being an instant success is more just a phenomenon of what, people's misconceptions are. I mean, people probably think the Black Keys just suddenly popped up and won a Grammy, but they
had like five albums
before
most people heard of them, right?
And we've been playing together as a band for, God, almost 10 years now, man. And, we've done a lot of slogging along that way. But it has been sort of, honestly, over the last year, really, I mean, basically since we dropped our album that, all of a sudden, mainly the main difference we've noticed is we're on the road now constantly. I think we've had at most like 6 or 7 days at home at a stretch, and that's a long time now for us. So we're working our asses out these days, man.
Yeah. So if that's the case, though, does that mean in some ways you haven't been able to just pause and reflect and enjoy the success so far because you're still working so hard?
Not at all. Yeah, we haven't had a minute to really be able to look back on everything that's happened in the last year and say, wow. It's all been such a whirlwind.
Also the sort of dudes who we tend to look forward, honestly, like as amazing as all – the success has been, to us it really sort of feels like just the first step on the road. Like now we have a platform, now we can start really building the band, and I think we're we probably could do with a little reflection, but I think we're all just always looking toward the future, man.
And tell me if I'm dead wrong on this, but I get the same vibe from you guys live and the way your fans react to you as I do with Imagine Dragons, a band that kind of started off and everybody realized, man, this live show is something to see, and word of mouth spreads town to town, and every time you go back, you draw a bigger audience. And I kind of feel that's what's happening with ex-ambassadors, is every time you play a city, you're playing a bigger venue. I mean, you're playing the Wiltern tonight, for God's sakes. I mean, that's a big deal in L.A.
Yeah, it's awesome. And, we built ourselves as a live band, that is before, Renegades and stuff took off at radio. That was the way we would promote. That was our main, avenue of promotion, was just opening for other bands or going to play shows on our own to not many people, but, just like slowly building it. And so, we've really put in the work in the live show, and it's really prepared us for this moment.
What's the smallest number of people you think X-Ambassadors has ever played to, and zero. What's the largest crowd they've ever played
zero?
To?
We've zero.
We've played to zero yeah. people before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At St. John's University.
But they loved it, well. I hear.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was a great crowd. Yeah.
No one left disappointed.
Yeah.
The promoter left about halfway through the set. He was the one person there, and then he that was the first paying gig we ever had, yeah. so we were
and
so
And there was not
excited.
A single paying customer?
Zero.
No. That's fantastic.
It was in like a dorm, like common room. Yeah, you know how dorms have like the downstairs like yeah. lobby
right.
with like a
like the resident
ping
area.
Pong table.
Yeah.
So it was really just a rehearsal is all
yeah.
it was.
Oh, yeah.
If there's
oh,
nobody there to see it.
Though.
A depressing rehearsal.
Yeah. All right, and how about the biggest gig you've played so far? And I know you've got festivals coming up this summer, but what's the largest crowd you've ever played for?
It's, you know, that one's actually slightly tougher to say. I can tell you the largest crowd we've played for headlining, but we've done a lot of opening gigs. We recently did a whole tour opening for Muse, and Ooh. Those venues are massive.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you can't really tell as the opener how much, you know, usually the stadium is not full by the time you go on, and it's hard to tell how full it is, you know, while you're playing, especially because those shows were in the round, so you're only really yeah. able to see one quarter of the crowd at once.
Conservatively, I'd say probably the biggest crowd we've played to was 18,000 people.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty big.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Well, you guys were named to the Lollapalooza lineup. When you do a festival like that, if it's over a few days, are you ever able to go and watch bands that you've always wanted to see?
Yeah, sometimes.
Or do you have to get in, get out?
Sometimes.
So we did the first time we went to Lollapalooza, we did, and it was amazing. We got to see a bunch of bands, but that was back sort of before our schedule got as crazy as it is.
Right.
And now this summer, I mean, hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have, you know, at least, you know, one day at each festival that we're not playing or doing promo. But, you know, I have a feeling that there is going to be a lot of that
I think,
sort of rolling.
I think Lollapalooza we're actually... I think we will have some time.
Yeah, I think we have a private gig before it starts. So
I think that's like the only one that we have. It's funny, yeah, because Casey's right. Most of the time we don't really have time. But I have to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right?
I have to see Radiohead.
Yep.
Chili Peppers were like gods to me when I was in middle school and high school, and they really were a huge, huge influence on me.
That's a perk I don't think about very often about being in a band is all the shows you get to see because you're on the bill. But that ultimately, if you had to buy tickets for all these festivals,
oh yeah, exactly.
Plus, you'd be on Ticketmaster all the time waiting for me to go up at 10 a.m. on a Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is the band X Ambassadors in the studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They're going to be walking down the hall in a minute and performing live at the Red Bull Sound Space. I want to ask you about a couple of other songs while we have you guys here. And one of them is a little song called American Oxygen. Tell me the story of that song that became a huge hit for Rihanna. I was watching that video last night. She's had over 63 million views on that song that you guys wrote with her, right?
Yeah, so I worked on the song with her and with Alex the Kid. And it took us about a year to write that. Now, Alex is our producer as well, and we're with his label, with Kid in the Corner and Interscope. And so,
were you guys friends, or was this a writer-for-hire situation?
Well, it was just, it started out as a song that we were just working on between us and Alex, and we came up with this chorus, him and I came up with this chorus, and then he brought it to Rihanna, he brought it to her and her team, and she loved it, and then from there... Collectively, we wrote verses together, and then the song was born.
And how crazy is that for you when it comes on the radio, though? I mean, in a million years, when
I never
were
hear it. I never hear it.
Really?
You know, it's so funny. I never hear it on the radio. I've heard it once or twice in like weird places. I heard it once when we were in Berlin on the
That's
radio
a
when
weird
I was like
experience.
Walking past. It was like a shawarma place was playing. It so, yeah. it's really cool, and you know, I'm very proud of my writing on that one, and I'm very proud of what we made together.
It's a great song.
Thank you.
And the other one I want to ask you about, because I think this might be flying under the radar for a lot of K-Rock audience, and that is the album From the Knox. That is one of my favorite things out right now. And you guys have they're a producing team, right?
Yeah.
And you guys have a song
team.
On there called Comfortable. Tell me about that, because that's great, too.
We actually did that one a while ago. That was like almost... wow, like almost like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago or something.
But
like
it just came out on their album.
But
though,
it just came out on their album, and yeah, it's just a funky jam, man. Like I love those guys. I love the Knox. We all kind of came up together in New York, and were, you know, we knew each other in college, and they were always like DJing some cool party that I couldn't get into, so I jumped at the opportunity to write with them, and we ended up coming up with this cool funky jam together. And
well, I want the after you guys finish playing here in a few minutes, I want everybody to turn off the Kevin and Bean Show and turn on your Spotify or whatever and bring that Knox album up, because it's great, and it has my
really
girlfriend
great.
Carly Rae Jepsen on it.
Oh,
too.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a great album. So
she talks about you all the time.
Thanks, Sam. Glad to hear that.
Sam, please.
All right, X Ambassadors. They're playing the Wiltern tonight. I understand as of when this was generated, there were just a few seats left, so you might try to squeak in and see their great live show. It's at LiveNation.com, and then. And you guys are just all over the place. I mean, it looks like your schedule for spring and summer is just booked.
Yeah, we're gone till, when are we gone till?
I think we have like 2 weeks off in August, at the end of August.
Wow. Did you set up somebody to feed your cats before you left home? Because I'm concerned at this
cats
point.
Cats have all
they're...
died.
Oh, this took a turn. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Way to end on a bummer note, you guys. Well, you've been so great to K-Rock with your time over the past year or so. We've loved having you on our shows. I hope we get a chance to see you again, and congratulations on all your success. No
Thank
one
you.
Deserves it more. And we'll
so
see
much.
You down the hall in the Red Bull Sound Space. We'll play some music here.
All right.
Right.
Thanks so much
all right.
for
Thanks
having
Thanks, you guys.
Us.
Ex-Ambassadors, everybody.
Thanks.
I'm the only one applauding, but I had fun.
Appreciate it.
A very special Friday morning here at the Kevin and Bean Show. We always love it when bands stop by to perform live, particularly when they're nice ones like Ex-Ambassadors, who are here playing the Wiltern tonight. Just a few seats left if you want to check them out, LiveNation.com. They're in the Red Bull Sound Space. What are you guys going to play for us first right now?
We're going to do a song called Renegades.
I think that's an excellent choice. Take it away.
ladies and gentlemen. Come on with the X Ambassadors and the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. That sounded fantastic, you guys. Casey, I love watching you play that piano, too. That's amazing work there. All right, the band's playing the Wiltern tonight. The album is available everywhere. It is called VHS. I think we got time to squeeze in one more, if you guys do.
Yeah, totally. We're going to do a song called Unsteady next.
Love it. X Ambassadors on K-Rock.
I'm a little unsteady, a little unsteady. Oh, hold on to me, 'cause I'm a little unsteady, a little unsteady.
X Ambassadors, Sam singing, Casey playing the keyboards. We really appreciate you coming by. We know that this is the opposite of the time that you are used to performing live, so I appreciate you doing that, and it sounded so great. Have fun at the Wiltern. Have a fantastic spring if we don't see you again. X Ambassadors, thanks so much for coming by, K-Rock. Hey. How about those X Ambassadors, by the way?
So good.
So talented, right?
I had no idea. I've seen them live, and they're amazing. They're a great band live. But hearing the stripped-down version of Unsteady, holy.
Very powerful. I asked Dave when the song was over. I said, is there any way we can put that up on KRock.com? And he says that he'll work on it and try to get that up later on today so everybody can see and enjoy that like we did. It was really super fun to have those guys come by today. Don't forget, we are continuing to give away tickets for Coachella as well. If you want to win a pair of sold-out three-day passes, the show is 3 weeks from this weekend, by the way. You can win tickets and access to the K-Rock Coachella house and qualify to drive home in a brand new 2016 Jeep Renegade Which, by the way, how's that for a tie-in? They're the Renegade with the song with the commercial as ex-ambassadors. Anyway, that's at 5 o'clock this afternoon if you want to win your Coachella tickets from good old K-Rock. How about a brand new Beans Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Beans Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
It's been a pretty good couple of weeks for death stories. Allie, I want your opinion. I know you saw this young man, this Mormon missionary,
the kid in Brussels.
His name is Mason Wells. He is 19 years old, and he is in the news this week because he was at the airport near that American Airlines counter that blew up with those suicide bombers in Brussels earlier this week. Mm-hmm. He was hit by shrapnel. The bombs were hidden in suitcases, and they blew up. He ruptured his Achilles tendon and suffered second and third degree burns on his face and hands. Now, all that sounds terrible, and it is, but he is lucky to be alive. He also was in Paris on November 13th, not far from where that suicide bomb, or the guys burst into that club with all the machine guns and mowed down 100 people. He was also nearby that event when it happened. And
as if that's not enough right there.
As if that's not enough. He's already, like, having a crazy year. And he was one block from the finish line of the Boston Marathon when those guys blew it up. So my question for you, Allie, is Mason Wells the luckiest guy in the world or the unluckiest guy in the world?
Yeah, I'm going to need his itinerary because I want to stay as far away from him traveling as I can.
What do you make of that?
It's unreal.
Three of the most high-profile Western terrorist attacks in the last couple of years, and he was within spitting distance of all three of them, is pretty remarkable. Why isn't he a suspect at this point,
right?
Is another question that I have. Because it does seem a little bit too suspicious that this dude is always around when lots of people die.
And what a great cover, too. A Mormon missionary.
A Mormon missionary. No one would ever expect ISIS, but clearly that's what's going on. His father, Chad, told ABC News this is his third terrorist attack, the third time that, sadly, in our society, we have a connection to a bomb blast. He is in the hospital and is expected to make a full recovery. But I think it is time to chip him and to keep an eye on where he's going next so that we can all make our travel plans accordingly, don't you?
Agree.
I wish the monkey were here right now because two stories in Death Corner now involve soccer. Here's a soccer game played between neighbors in Argentina last month. Last month.
Is that new?
A player shot and killed a referee. Again, repeating, a player shot and killed a referee and wounded another player.
During the game.
During the game. Police say referee Cesar Flores, 48, showed the assailant a red card for making a heavy tackle on an opponent. The player then retrieved a gun from his bag and shot the referee three times. He also wounded another player, a 25-year-old named Walter Zarate, before fleeing the scene. A police spokesperson said, yes, it all happened during the match. We don't know what happened with the referee, but the player was angry, went to get his gun, and killed him.
Whoa.
I don't think that needs to be part of sports. I don't think.
That's a hot take, and I agree with it.
The other soccer death in this week's Beans Death Corner, the incessant arguing about whether Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi is the better player is dumb, many people would agree, and played out, but that's what happened. That's how a guy got killed by his friend. They are Nigerian. Police say the man who was killed, Obina Michael Duramunchunkwa, was celebrating his birthday when his friend, Nwabu Chukwuma, in a rented apartment, they started to argue over who was the better player, Cristiano Ronaldo from Real Madrid and his counterpart at Barcelona, Lionel Messi. Well, Duramchura flung a glass at Chukwuma, which missed him but broke against the wall. Chukwuma then picked up the shard of glass and cut his friend's throat in a fit of rage, said the police inspector. That's no way to settle an argument, you guys.
A bean.
Yes, dear.
Kudos on nailing those two Nigerian names, yet screwing up Argentina.
I don't know what's happening here. Many Kevin and B listeners sent me this story last month when it happened, but we haven't had a chance to feature it until today. And, Allie, I hate to say that I see your future, but this 43-year-old woman is living alone in the northern city of Xi'an in China.
Sure.
And she gets in the elevator. And the elevator stops on her between the 10th and the 11th floor. Somebody, as I'm piecing the articles together that I read last night, somebody called the building maintenance and said, hey, elevator's broken. Maybe you can send somebody out. So they did send somebody out, but they didn't retrieve the elevator. They didn't get the elevator working. They just shut off the power to the elevator without checking to see whether anyone was inside. Then they left for the New Year's holiday, which I guess January 30th is when that starts in China. And they came back a month later.
No.
1 month later, they came back. Oh. They fired up the elevator. They opened it up. And there she was, 43 years old, obviously either starved to death or died of thirst. They said there were, and this sounds like something right out of the Twilight Zone, there were desperate scratch marks on the inside of the elevator. Can you imagine the horror of realizing, well, I'm stuck in an elevator and nobody's coming to get me. And then you wake up the next day and you're still in the elevator. And then the next day and the next day and you scream and no one hears you and you end up dying alone in that elevator. Like I said, Allie, this is your future that we're looking at, is a single woman all alone with no one to care about or check on her who dies in a malfunctioning elevator, in China.
I hope her cats are okay.
I hope her cats are okay, too, because nobody probably looked in on them either. And finally, remember how we were talking earlier in the week? You guys, I don't know why you weren't as concerned about this as I am, but it is it's fact, it's documented, that every contestant on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette who has not been picked has either committed suicide or has been killed
like
in some bizarre...
Three.
There have been hundreds of contestants
on
that show.
Your math is off.
All of them are dead. So I was asking, what's the deal with that? Like, are they being systematically rubbed out by ABC so that they can't talk and spill the secrets of the show?
I can't with you right now.
Or are they just so despondent that they don't get picked as the Bachelor or the Bachelorette that they commit suicide? Well, I got an email from Jen, who's a very smart person, smarter than I am, and here's what she said. Hello, Bean. I think you are definitely on to something. I have a PhD in psychology, and I agree with you. The type of person who thinks they can find true, everlasting love on a reality show, well, perhaps they also believe in magic and unicorns. When they leave the show and enter back into reality, their former life seems more depressing. Two of the five Bachelor deaths were suicides, she mentions, by the way. Does the show even do psych evals and screen the contestants? They do for police officers. Let's not kid ourselves. These men and women are going into battle. There's also the risk-taking gene that Dr. Drew has spoken of on your show. It makes some people more likely to do risky, extreme sports, like overdose on drugs, as in one death. One other Bachelor death died during extreme sports, and these are the same type of people with that risk-taking gene that sign up for a stupid reality show. There was one who died in an accidental plane crash, too. Thanks, says Jen. By the way, as if that was an accidental plane crash. Again, they look for lots of different ways to rub these people out.
Oh, my God.
But what about that? What about there's something going on in them that if they're not killed by the show, which I think is how most of them go, is they're just people who are either unstable or engage in risky behavior, and that's why we're seeing so many deaths from those contestants.
You're insane, and I'm not engaging with you.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
You're
Thanks,
nuts.
Dr. Jen. I appreciate you writing in. And this has been Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Hey, we're on. Hey, can you guys have that conversation off the air? We're doing a radio program here.
You're not the boss of me. Don't tell me what to do.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. Hey, Chip, when are we playing that that new Fits in the Tantrum song? I want to hear that. When's that coming up?
9 o'clock.
Okay. Can't wait. Nicole Alvarez world premiered that last night, and I hear it is outstanding, and I love that band, and I'm very excited that we get to play it this morning. That's coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Everyone's talking about the passing of comedian Gary Shandling, of course. Died yesterday at the age of 66 from an apparent heart attack. Gary Shandling was a unique comedic mind. Did stand-up, wrote screenplays, scripts, television. Was a great host. He was a guest host on The Tonight Show for many years. So much so that made him high in demand when it came to filling the slots that were available for late night TV shows. NBC and CBS both made him offers to host his own talk show, but it was as a fictional talk show host that he really made his mark. The Larry Sanders Show, of course, one of the great comedies of all time, consistently in the top 100 shows in television history, if you ask anybody who's an expert in the field.
I'm not even an expert, and I agree with that. Man, that was a great show.
Mm-hmm. Five-time Emmy Award nominee for lead actor for his work on that show. Changed the landscape of television comedy, not only with Larry Sanders, but also with its Gary Shandling show. The lesser known of his two cable sitcoms, Gary Shandling Show, was about a comedian, Gary, who was on a sitcom, but he was aware of it and would address the audience while in the midst of the wackiness that was going on. It was just deconstructed. The sitcom was very, very funny. And not only was he a talented guy and a funny guy, but also a great guy to his friends. And a lot of outpouring of love for Gary Shandling in his passing yesterday at the age of 66. So we will miss him.
Wasn't that so shocking when you saw that yesterday, Ron?
Yes, absolutely.
Just because he was so, you know, so young. Just so, and by all accounts, had been in, as far as we know, excellent health until yesterday.
Yep. A North Carolina man has been arrested for the most heinous of all crimes, failing to return a VHS tape that he rented back in 2001. His name was James Myers. He was pulled over Tuesday for having a taillight out. That's when cops informed him of an outstanding warrant. He was wanted on a felony count of renting. I don't know what it was, actually, but he was charged with failure to return rental property, booked, imprisoned,
really?
Arrested, yes.
Come on.
15 years ago, he rented the Tom Green comedy Freddie Got Fingered and never returned it. He should do time just for renting Freddy Got
right?
Fingered.
Probably. Everyone who rented Freddy Got Fingered should do time.
He should be locked up and the key thrown away for just bad judgment.
Wasn't it so crazy that there's this warrant for his arrest has been out since 2002 and he just didn't know about it until he got pulled over?
Yeah.
But I feel like the police officer, and I know that their job isn't to make the laws, but I do feel like the police officer should have looked at that and said, really? I'm not pulling this guy in for this.
Oh,
let
I see.
Him go.
So just anarchy, just whatever, just let people run,
I know it's
run
a slippery
wild in
slope.
The streets. No, it's fine.
Why
arrest anyone for anything, Bean? Just let it's the purge. Let everybody do what they want. It's fine.
Look, I agree with you in principle. We don't want police officers deciding what's a crime and what's not. But I do feel like common sense could have prevailed here because it took a couple hours to book the guy. They had to, literally, they arrested him.
Yeah, I know.
Put him in handcuffs.
And for a good reason. Why don't you tell your story to Blockbuster? Because that's why they went out of business,
well,
by the way.
Because no one ever returned their videos?
Exactly. Oh. It's hard to keep your business going when your shelves are bare, when all your Freddy Got Fingereds are out. And no one can rent it.
All right. You're the man, but okay.
You don't know. And I heard you talking about all those soccer stories, soccer stories in your death corner.
Yeah, guy shot and killed a ref. A couple of fans got into a fight that ended deadly when they were arguing over the game. Yeah, it's crazy.
Soccer's bad news. Former British soccer star Adam Johnson was sentenced yesterday to 6 years in prison for possessing animal porn involving a horse.
Oh, dear.
No.
50 Shades of Hay, apparently, was the name of of the movie. He was prosecuted. His defense, that it was not animal porn at all. It was Sarah Jessica Parker's sex tape. But
you know what?
Apparently the jury did not.
I got it.
Jury did not buy it, and so he's doing some time.
Horse is a horse, of course, but no one can talk to a horse, of course, that is, unless the horse, of course, is Sarah Jessica Parker. Whoa, Sarah. Down, girl. Down.
We speak of Sarah because it is her birthday today as we go to the celebrity birthday. Sarah Jessica Parker is 51 years old today. Oh, I hope they give her an extra cube of sugar.
You guys
to celebrate her birthday.
Horrible.
It'd be nice.
Horrible. I think she is absolutely gorgeous.
You know what? That's just madness.
No, it's not.
It is absolutely madness.
I've loved her since Square Pegs.
You can love her all you want. You can watch her TV shows, her movies, what have you. But if you say she's absolutely gorgeous,
she's
just
very, very pretty lady.
That's madness.
It is not.
It is an out-and-out lie. You are a liar.
No.
Lies.
Nope.
All right, could I work out some sort of a compromise between you two kids because I hate to see you fight. Can we all agree that she is very attractive for a horse?
Yes, I think we can all agree for that.
Okay, so you win, yes. Ralph, and you win too, Allie.
Shut up.
Instead of giving her a bell, can we give her the sound that a horseshoe makes when you get a ringer when you're playing horseshoes in the backyard? That sort of clink.
Oh, worst.
Elton John, 69 years old today. Aretha Franklin is 74 years old today. Aretha Franklin is gorgeous. She is a beautiful model-esque woman. She's
Ralph, can't you just appreciate her talent, that she's good at her skills,
no,
without saying that she's also pretty?
Why has it got to be about looks, Aretha Franklin, with you, Ralph?
Well, when
why?
You say someone's beautiful.
Sarah Jessica Parker is a beautiful woman.
Oh, my God. She looks like a foot.
You look like a thumb.
Good one.
Good retort, Allie. Thanks.
Are you talking to yourself? Are you complimenting yourself?
I want to go home.
Actor Lee Pace is 37. Jenny Slate's 34. Catherine McPhee is 32 years old today. Sean, Big Sean, is 28 years old. Not regular Sean.
Nope.
Big Sean is 28. And Allie McCulka. She plays Peyton on iZombie.
Oh, you're not watching the iZombie, Ralph, but she is great on that show. And so pretty. She's like the anti-Sarah Jessica Parker. She's so pretty.
She's 27
the
years
worst
old
day
today.
Ever.
Sarah, how old are you today?
All right. Okay.
Well, look at her go. That hoof is going to get sore. She's got 51 of those to do.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Friday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it. I was told on the show yesterday, Allie, that I am not allowed to have an opinion on this casting that has been announced of the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie because I have never seen any of the movies, so it's not for me.
It didn't stop you, though.
No. Have you seen them?
I have.
All of them?
Not all of them.
Mm-hmm. How come?
I'm very busy. And
did you get to the point where you thought, hey, seen that movie, this one looks just like the last one, and how many of these do I need to go see?
A little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Because I think this is the fifth one that they're making. It's called Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Mm-hmm. And look, it's got a great cast. I mean, I think Johnny Depp, again, I've not seen the movies, but by all accounts, Johnny Depp is phenomenal as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Rush is playing Barbossa. Javier Bardem is going to be playing the villain, Captain Salazar, in this new film. Mm-hmm. So it's got a great cast. I think Orlando Bloom is returning as Will Turner. And, of course, they got a lot of mileage out of Keith Richards a couple of movies ago, coming in and playing Captain Sparrow's dad. And now the new casting is that Paul McCartney will be appearing in Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Huh.
Which is curious, right? You don't think of him, beyond the Beatles movies and, a couple of other things he's done. You don't picture him as doing a role that's so different from his real life. But no word yet on who he's going to play. But we've got the inside track because we're lucky enough to have a pretty good relationship with Sir Paul. So we asked Dave if he could line him up today and we could find out more about his appearance in the film. Mr. McCartney, it's always a thrill to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Please call me Sir Paul McCartney.
Oh,
Sir Paul. Yes,
absolutely.
I apologize. You certainly have earned that.
Yes, I have.
So it's all true. It's all true that you are going to be in the Pirates of the Caribbean. They've gone back, even though they thought they were done with the movie. They have created another scene, and they have gone back to shoot it just to put you in the film.
Yes, we're filming it right now. I'm on the boat now.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. Well, what can you tell us about it?
Well, I'm really not supposed to say anything about it.
I understand.
But you can tell. I can tell you this much: I'm a pirate.
You are playing a pirate.
Yes.
Okay, I thought you might have more to say on that. So you're playing a pirate.
I couldn't say much about it.
Okay, all right, so you're playing a pirate. Are you... Okay,
yeah,
so
shut
Keith...
up, Omar.
Wait, you have a guy named Omar there on the boat?
Yeah, I have a guy on the crew here. His name's Omar.
Oh, that's so weird. We have a guy named Omar.
Really? What a coincidence.
Yeah, that's weird.
Quinky dink.
Isn't it?
All right, so you're Fred Keith Richards for the Rolling Stones. He played Jack Sparrow's dad. Are you going to be related to somebody that we know from the cast already?
Well, you know, it's always been a bit of a... competition between the Stones and the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so I couldn't let Keith, be in the film and me not take a shot at it myself.
Okay.
Plus, Johnny's a friend of mine, Johnny Depp.
Sure.
We worked together on a few videos I did for my last album. We've
okay.
got friends, so he said, why don't you come on and do it? I said, oh, that sounds like fun.
And have you seen the previous movies?
Oh, yeah, I love the films.
You did, okay.
Jack Sparrow. Arr, matey. Ooh, woo.
All right, so you're playing a pirate. Are you going to be involved musically at all in this? Is that something they, you got Paul McCartney in the movie, well, might as well get a couple of songs out of him.
Absolutely. They said to me, since you're going to do the show, maybe you could write a few songs for the soundtrack. And I said, yeah, that sounds like great fun, so I thought let's do it, you know. So I've got some new songs that are going to be on the soundtrack for the song, for the,
that
for the movie.
That is very
great
big
news.
Wow.
Yeah, great, great new songs I've been working on, and a little different, you know, than I've done before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think they're going to be great. I think people are going to like them.
So these are songs sung from the perspective of your character, or songs about the things that are happening in the movie, or what else can you tell us?
Yeah, it's about the things that happen in the film, more or less. It's about, you know, the plot of the film, and, you know, just Johnny Depp's character, Captain Jack Sparrow. And I think they're going to be great. I think, you know, these might stand on their own. I might release a whole album.
Really?
Wow. You're really invested in this. Can you give us any kind of hint as to what the music sounds like?
Well, I can play a couple for you if you like.
Oh, that would be the best.
I'm working on right now the original songs, first time heard anywhere.
Okay.
I love it.
So I hope you like it.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Piracy. Piracy. I take things that don't belong to me. I'm in a boat that's on the raging sea. Oh, I believe in piracy.
It sounds a little familiar. It sounds almost like yesterday, but you just changed the words to piracy.
Yesterday?
Yeah, yeah. It's a song that...
A song you wrote.
Oh, that one. Yeah. I almost forgot about that.
Oh, a little similar.
Because this song is so different.
I almost forgot
that song even existed.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's completely out of my memory.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Because nothing like this song.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Sounds like you spent about 10 seconds just changing one word to another word, and that's it.
Well, that's not what I did at all. And I'm a Beatle, so I should know.
Yeah, well, you would. Okay, all right. Well, maybe that one didn't make it. But what else you got?
How about this one? The strong and windy boat that leads to your shore.
Okay. Paul.
Shore just rhymed with door. That's the long and winding road.
The what now?
The long and winding road. It was another hit song.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's one of yours.
Okay, that song, yeah. Again, it was It's so out of my mind because this song is completely new and different that I forgot that I'd even written that one.
But what makes you think somebody needs a song that goes the strong and windy boat? I mean, that's terrible, Paul.
Because pirates are on strong, windy boats, you see.
Okay.
And so that has to do with pirating. Arr, matey.
Arr, matey. All right. We're almost out of time. Could you have one more you can share with us, Paul?
Sure. Maybe I'm amazed at the way I steal things all the time. Maybe I'm amazed at the way I bury treasure. Sometimes I wear a big black patch upon my eye. Sometimes there's a parrot on my shoulder.
Okay. May 26, 2017, the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie comes out featuring Sir Paul McCartney. Thanks for the time, Paul.
Arr, matey.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, the return of the monkey on Monday morning. He'll be back. I think we've got a full team on Monday, don't we, Ellie? Isn't everybody going to be here?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yesterday morning, first thing, I brought you the story of a woman named Michaela. We didn't know that at the time. Her name is Michaela. She lives in Toronto, and she live-tweeted something that happened to her. They say she live-tweeted it, but she tweeted it after the fact. She was on a date, and something unfortunate happened, and she tweeted about it. And it led us to – I'm going to tell you the story again for those who weren't with us early yesterday. And then we want to hear from you about terrible things that happened on dates. That's the topic of the morning. 1-800-520-1067. Terrible things that happened on dates. Now, Ralph is convinced that this story is not true, that this lady is just having a laugh. Mm-hmm. It sounds completely believable to me. What say you, Allie?
It could have happened. But I question why you would ever tweet about it.
In other words, it's such an embarrassing thing. Why would a young woman ever want to invite, especially on the internet, the kind of scorn that might come as a
result? And the fact that she's tweeting, I need to be on Ellen. Ellen, have me on. I think maybe she could have done it just to go viral.
Oh, interesting.
Who knows?
Shooting for that. Mm-hmm. All right, well, here's the story. It sounds very believable to me. So this is over the course of 18 tweets, and I'll just summarize for you. So Michaela says, yesterday I went on a date with a man who asked me out in the grocery store the other day. All was going well. I went back to his place. I am a confident, calm, and self-assured woman, so I felt comfortable pooping in his bathroom. That was a mistake. His toilet did not flush. Then she, and by the way, I think we can all picture the panic in her mind at that point.
Glad you said panic. Yeah.
Because she's got a date waiting for her back on the couch, and now she's in the bathroom, and what is she going to do? So she says, properly, of course, like any other calm, confident, and self-assured woman, I panicked. I flushed it a million times, making everything worse. By this time, I was really frantic because I knew that I had been in there too long. There was only one single piece of poop. So at that moment, something came over me, and I knew exactly what I had to do. Now, when I got to that point in the story yesterday, Ellie, you gasped because you thought exactly what she ended up doing was what crossed your mind.
Yeah.
I got toilet paper and removed the one poop from the toilet. So she wrapped the poop in toilet paper and put it in her purse. Multiple layers of toilet paper, she put it in her purse. She said that's the only thing she could think to do. She was really panicking at that point. She said she was freaking out because she had definitely been in there too long, and that was the only solution out. Good idea or bad idea?
I probably wouldn't have done it, but, it you know, you do what you have to do.
You do what you have to do in extraordinary circumstances.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. So she put in her purse, went out to the couch and started, making out with her date like you do. But she said she could not get the idea of the poop in her purse out of her head. And as things started getting more heated, she kept thinking, all right, now what? We're sitting here on his couch kissing and all I can think about is the piece of poop in my purse. Him saying, you're so beautiful. The moment you smiled at me, you had me. Me saying, that's really sweet. But me in my head saying, I have a piece of poo in my purse. So she did, a few hours later, by the way, she says that her date got up and used the washroom and she heard the toilet flush, so she figured he had fixed it. She said then she went in and she unwrapped the poop, prayed to every god she knew, put it in and flushed. By the grace of God, it worked and she was free. Everything was going to be okay. I survived. I am a survivor. So that's my story. A man sitting there telling me I'm the most amazing woman he's ever met, knowing that 10 feet away in my purse was my poop that I fished out of the toilet. This is very embarrassing for me, but seriously, don't drink coffee before a date. It's better to be sleepy than to have poop in your purse, says Michaela.
Yeah.
I think she handled that very well. But it's a legitimate question to ask why somebody would craftily survive this episode and then blow all of that anonymity out of the water by going on the internet and bragging about it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe she just thought others would enjoy it. I did.
I know you did.
I enjoyed it very much.
Strangely, you enjoyed it more than most.
So we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've got something bad that happened on a date, for instance, Ben, who texted us, says he was shot in the ass by a pellet gun on a very first date ever. That's Ben from Chatsworth. Ben, I wish you would call. I would like to hear the circumstances under which you were shot by a pellet gun. That sounds great. Cody writes into the Kevin and Bean Show, I heard about the Twitter poop story and Ralph's disbelief, but I want to share a story about a girl I briefly dated. The first time we went back to her place, she had to poop, but she didn't want me to know. So instead of pooping in her apartment, she snuck outside while I was sleeping and pooped in a bucket in her car's back seat.
What?
I only found out about it because we got up and had to use her car the next morning, and obviously there was some residual damage, and she was forced to explain. Hashtag bitches be crazy. So that's an even more bizarre
ladies,
story.
Ladies, we're allowed to poop.
Ladies, we're allowed
it.
To poop.
I mean, come on.
Because it's just flowers and rainbows anyway, right? There's nothing bad that comes out of girls.
Thank you.
So let's take some bad date stories at 1-800-520-1067. Let's do Greg, please, in Corona on line one before the break. Hey, Greg, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Morning, guys. I'll tell you, it was many years ago, but I had saved up all my money to take a girl out on a real nice date. It was at the Pomona Valley Mining Company in Pomona, a restaurant that sits over the 10 Freeway. We're sitting there at the little bar section waiting for our table, and a car had broken down right there on the freeway on the eastbound lanes. The guy got out of his car, jumped over the wall, and tried to run across the freeway on the other side and got hit by a car and was killed.
Oh, no.
Right in front of everyone. Everyone's sitting there, myself, my date. You know, as I can tell you, the romance of that night went out the window awful quick. It was just an unbelievable bad timing for me.
Oh, Greg, you should have turned it around and been like, we don't know when our time's up. Let's do this.
Life is short.
Right?
We may never get another opportunity.
Wow.
So you, on your first date, you and your date are looking out the window in a nice romantic restaurant, and you see a man get killed.
Oh, man.
And, I mean, he was there with a sheet over the body, as you can imagine, for the next 2 hours.
During your whole meal.
Did you guys recover from that and go out again another time, or did that just kind of spoil the whole relationship and that was the end of it?
No, luckily we did. And so, I didn't marry her or anything like that.
Right,
but no, we actually dated for a while after that.
That is not what you want. By the way, the only consolation for you is the dude on the freeway did actually have a worse night than you did that night.
That's true.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. You've heard Greg's story. You've heard the pooping lady's story in Toronto. Now we want to hear your story. What awful thing happened on a date? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. August 6th, Irvine Meadows. How's this for a triple bill? That band right there, Panic at the Disco, along with Weezer and Andrew McMahon and The Wilderness. That is a great lineup, which is why that show is sold out. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday morning, talking about bad things that happen on dates. Can you top the woman who basically live tweeted having to put a piece of poop in her purse so her date didn't know the toilet wouldn't flush? At 1-800-520-1067, when you're taking your calls, and let's start with Dylan. He's in Long Beach, and he's up first. Hey, Dylan. Thanks for hanging on, man. You had a bad date. What happened?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Friday to you.
You too.
So, yeah, years ago, I went on a date with this girl down in Costa Mesa. We met up at a bar at the Goat Hill Tavern, and we split a pitcher of beer, having a good night. Everything's going good. We plan on going back to her place to kind of, seal the deal with Chris in the night,
Sure.
And on the way out, pulling out of the driveway, and cop rolls by me. My back tail lights out, flips around, pulls me over, lights me up, and, hey, where are you guys coming from? I just, had a drink over at the bar. Okay, cool. Why don't you step on outside of the vehicle, license, registration, insurance, the standard stuff. Found out that my license is expired.
Oh, no.
ran me through the field sobriety test. I'm freaking out. I'm on a first date with this girl. She's sitting shotgun, just looking at me, just watching me squirm. Awful situation. They take us both out of the car, make us both do field sobriety tests and all that kind of fun stuff. And they ended up just giving me a fix-it ticket, but taking my license away, gave me a little pink slip saying that I had to acknowledge it was gone and not able to drive anymore. And then the girl had to drive my car home and ground my clutch the entire way. Just awful.
Is that a euphemism?
I hope so. Now, did that spoil the sexy time at the end of the night? Were you guys off of that, or did that still happen?
No, that spoiled the second grinding of the clutch.
Oh, that's a year. That's too bad, Dylan.
Thank you, Dylan. That must have been hilarious for his date, though, to be sitting in his car while her guy is out there with the pulleys. I love that. All right, let's try Chuck, North Hollywood. He's on line 8, and he's up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Bad things that happened on a date. Chuck, welcome to the show, my friend. What's going on?
Well, I was taking this young lady out on my first date after graduating from the Northeast Broadcasting School in Boston, doing my first DJ gig on a harbor cruise. While we were out there, half hour into the cruise, my mother thought it was wise to call me and tell me that my date's father just had a massive heart attack and died.
Oh, how irresponsible of him to not realize his daughter was on a date. That's terrible timing.
Well, it wasn't really his timing. It was my mother's timing. And then, of course, I had to put on a show all night long, and I cannot tell you how painful it is to do that on a first date with a beautiful woman.
So you're still having to entertain being a DJ, and your date is just there stuck on a boat?
Well, she's not stuck on the boat because I couldn't tell her. I could not. She would have jumped overboard and swam to shore.
Wow. That's tough information to keep from her. All right. That's a bad date. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's try Henry, Moreno Valley, line 1, please, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Henry, what's going on?
How's it going? So my story is a little weird. I went on a date with a girl back to her apartment. We decided to put back a few drinks. And, apparently I put back too many drinks. And she went out to get a pack of cigarettes. Well, I decided to introduce myself to all of her new neighbors in her new apartment complex, butt naked.
Henry!
Yeah. So,
wait, were you blackout drunk?
I guess, yeah. I don't remember much. All the neighbors seemed to be giving me some funny stares in the morning. But, yeah.
And she had just moved in there? These were new neighbors?
Yeah, she had just moved in about a week.
Awesome.
And,
that's fantastic. Decided was that a deal breaker for the relationship, or did she give you another chance after that night?
We saw each other a couple more times, but I'm pretty sure she figured out it was a little strange after that one.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. That's funny. She's still telling that story to people. Let's go to Jen on line 4, please. She's in Costa Mesa. Hi, Jen. Thanks for listening. What's going on?
Hi. How are you?
Doing great. What's going on with you?
Great. Have an awkward date story. Mine was years ago, actually, and I was Facebook friends with who is a now pretty popular comedian, but back then he was kind of still doing local free shows and kind of promoting them on Facebook. Well, I had just started dating this guy, too, and so this comedian reaches out to me and invites me to the show, and I said, yeah, that'd be great, you know, so I call up my friend who I'm dating and invite him to the show. Well, we go to the show driving separately. I got there first, and then it quickly gets awkward when I realize that the comedian asked me there as a date.
Oh.
So I walk in and he introduced me to the room. It's like,
oh,
this is the girl I invited tonight.
So wait a second. Hold on. Let me make sure.
Your date shows up.
Yeah, so you brought a date to a date is what ended up happening.
I brought it, yes. Basically, I brought a date to a date.
That's awesome. Hey, you have to tell us who the comedian is, though.
It was Adam Hunter.
Oh, he's not that well known. Okay, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
you did the right thing, bringing a date.
We got time for a couple more. Let's try Mark, Studio City, please. Up next, line 5. You're just joining us at the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about that woman who tweeted after having to rescue a poop from a toilet that wouldn't flush, put it in her purse, and hide it from her date. We're wondering what crazy bad things have happened on your date. And Mark, you've got a story for us.
Yeah, so I meet this girl, and I met her on, we became friends on Facebook, never even met her in person. But before that, I started, messaging her, and then we ended up going and meeting out. And things were going awesome, and then about an hour into the date, she's like, oh, by the way, you're probably wondering why I'm not drinking. I'm 3 months pregnant.
Okay, all right.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that would have been fine if about 40 minutes after that, I was, trying to digest what happened, and her ex-husband showed up.
Oh, man.
And yeah. How was he feeling about his the mother of his future child being on a date with you?
Well, I don't know how he was feeling. I mean, I tried to gauge from the look on his face, but I assessed the situation. He was a lot bigger than me. I was like, oh, this is a good time to go to the bathroom. And I got the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And,
you ditched her.
I think maybe that's acceptable in this circumstance, don't you, Allie? I think it's probably best.
I don't
give them some privacy, I think, is the way to go. All right, Mark, thanks for calling. We appreciate everybody. We are opening up the phones here at K-Rock for you to be a part of the show. If you've got something you want to discuss on the Kevin Bean Show, you need a little help, a little advice.
Yeah. You know, folks always say to us, hey, why don't you talk about what I care about? What about this thing? This thing, you guys never mentioned this thing. How about the other thing and those other two things?
Right.
Well, here's your chance. If you think we've missed something important or something you need to discuss, you want to get our take on something, this is your opportunity. You call us and we'll do what's good at 1-800-520-1067 and we'll see what's on your mind.
So you can not only talk about the thing, but you can talk about the other thing also.
And those other two things that we didn't talk about.
The other two things, okay. Yeah. Or if you want to talk about Gary Shandling, that's obviously something that's on a lot of people's minds here today. We're all big fans, just really reeling from that loss yesterday. But any topic is fine. Plans for the weekend, whatever's going on with you, we want to hear about it right now at 1-800-520-1067. What's good? Coming up just after 9. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Because we're also available via email as well. This listener, Lou Thomas, sent me an email regarding the showbiz. We've been talking all week about Hulk Hogan and his huge settlement he was awarded from a jury in his lawsuit against Gawker Media for posting his personal sex tape that he made with his best friend's wife. So despite the curious nature of that arrangement, it was personal, and Gawker did put it online, and Hulkster sued and got $140 million for it. Apparently, according to this email from Lou, the Hulkster was not shy about having sex with other people's wives.
Oh.
Yes. Listen to this story from Lou. Years ago, my hot wife and I were in the lifestyle, and she told me she had never been with a big super buff guy or a celebrity. Well, one night we were at a bar. We could tell there were swingers with us, and there we saw Hulk Hogan. I took a chance and went over to quietly ask him if he might be interested. He said yes, and I could not help but shout. The Hulkster said he'd do my hottie.
I woke up in the Bugatti. The Hulkster said he'd do my hottie. The Hulkster said he'd do my hottie. The Hulkster said he'd do my hottie.
Yeah.
That is what champions are made of.
That's right.
I was so invested.
You bought it.
Boom.
Hook, line, and sinker. Suckers. Charbroiled.
You guys got burnt.
You guys got burnt. Charbroiled. Thank you, Lou, for sending that in. That was sweet. Sweet, sweet. Takes some of the edge of the sadness off. This morning, as Bean mentioned, we are mourning the loss of Gary Shandling, not only a brilliantly talented writer and performer and comedian, stand-up, TV personality, actor, but by all accounts, just one of the best guys you'd ever want to meet. He was a Buddhist, you know. He believed in the teachings of Buddha and was very deeply involved in that, and friends say that's one upside is with his passing, that he was very much at peace with his life and thoughts of what happens when we left. So there's some comfort in that, I suppose. Died yesterday at the age of 66, which, as Gary himself mentioned, the only time you hear someone say 66 is young is when you're talking about death.
Yeah.
But it is young, and he did leave us way too early, and he will be missed.
You know, it's funny. Ali brought up earlier that, what did Ricky Gervais say yesterday, Ali?
He said he was the reason that he even came up with The Office.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever have thought to do a show like that.
Yeah, the break the fourth wall, and also to have a character who's so, you know, deeply insecure and complicated. And you can really kind of see a real similarity in the character that he played on Larry Sanders and the character that Ricky Gervais created for The Office. I mean, that really makes a lot of sense when you point it out.
Not just Larry Sanders, but also The Gary Shandling Show from Showtime, another great piece of work. He was a regular on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, so much so that Carson made him a permanent guest host on that show. He was offered a ton of opportunities to do his own late-night talk show, both at NBC and CBS, but he passed on all of that in order to do a fictional TV talk show host in Larry Sanders. And for those who haven't seen the show, and it's not easy to find online, you can get it on DVD, but if you're looking to stream it, it's difficult. Good news, HBO has announced, and this was in the works apparently just prior to Gary's death, that they had already completed a deal to return the Larry Sanders Show exclusively to HBO.
That's great news.
So the show will appear on the network in reruns and also on its streaming service, HBO Go. So you'll be able to see every episode of that show, which, you know, you forget what an amazing supporting cast that show had as well. Janine Garofalo got her big break on that show. Bob Odenkirk, Scott Thompson, Jeremy Piven, Catherine Harold.
Hey, now.
And, of course, Jeffrey Tambor as Hank Kingsley.
The best.
Yeah, just a great cast and great writers. And if you ever get a chance, go online. There's a series of conversations Gary had with the, it's not the Museum of Television and Radio, it might be the Academy of Television. They sat him down and talked about the genesis of the idea for his show and what it was like to work in the writer's room and how he oversaw everything and kept kept everyone's eye on the prize, where they would sort of describe a plot to him and they would say, oh, you know, Hank wants a shot at his own talk show or something. And he'd say, is that what the show's about? And they go, yeah. He goes, no, what's it about? What's it about? What is driving Hank? What's about his insecurities? What's going on in his life that he feels the need to star in his own show? And he would force them to deal with the humanity of these characters, and that's what made that show great. So, good stuff.
Hey, now.
Hey, you going to Coachella? Well, don't drive
Ella,
like a sucker.
Ella?
Don't drive like a sucker. Let's just ignore that. how about Uber Chopper? Uber Chopper.
Tell me more, K-Rock's Kevin.
Uber Chopper is a six-seater helicopter, so you and five friends can fly to Coachella in style.
And they pick me up at my home?
No, I don't believe so. I think you might have to leave someplace a little bit more room.
And but, Allie, wouldn't it be worth it just to drive to Van Nuys or something and then hop on a helicopter and go to Coachella and then get dropped back off later?
Totally. Totally.
I love this.
I'm terrified. I'd like to go to Coachella in less than an hour.
I'm terrified by how much this is going to cost.
It's not that unreasonable.
For six people?
Yes, for six people, each person pays what for a private helicopter ride to Coachella? What do you think?
$400.
Well, it's a little bit more than that. $695. For $695 a person.
And that's there and back?
You and friends can fly to Coachella in style. I don't know if it's back. Maybe, that
that's
may be
a lot.
That may be a one-way.
It's a lot of murder.
I'm not
if
sure.
That's one
I'm
way
not sure.
I don't love it as much, but if that's round trip, I'm in.
Anyway, you can request Chopper in your app starting noon today and reserve a first-class flight, and they will follow up with you and sort out all of your booking details and drop off your flight passes on demand, too. So.
Wow.
That's a pretty great idea, by the way,
yeah,
because one complaint that people have is they know what that traffic is going to be like going to and from Coachella every year.
Uber Chopper for all three weekends will be available, and it's the quickest way, they say, to and from the festival through the sky. So,
I like it.
Look it up, Uber Chopper. Uber Chopper, Uber, Uber, Uber Chopper, Uber, Uber. I can't stop this feeling.
Wow.
Sorry.
Big Mouth.
Hey, there's still a couple tickets left for Hollywood Babylon tonight at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and we'll take a look at the week's entertainment news.
No.
It's been a couple weeks since we've done this. Kevin's been off doing The Flash. He's been directing The Flash. We'll be talking about that experience. Also, we will break down Batman v Superman, of course, being the couple of geeks that we are. We will be paying tribute to Gary as well. Kevin was friends with Gary Shandling. They had spent some time together, and he's got some great stories. So come on out to the Improv on Melrose, 10 p.m. tonight. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
No.
Come on, guys. Really? You put a whole band together? Just to answer my... Wow. That's a lot of work. Today's... Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays.
No.
Doesn't sound like that guy's going to be there, I don't think.
Well, it's all right. Not a lot of tickets left anyway. Allie McCulka. This plays Peyton on iZombie. She's 27 years old today. Bean has a new creepy crush.
Yeah,
I do love her so.
Yeah.
She's so good on that show.
Yes.
And by so good, I mean really hot.
Rapper Big Sean's 28. Catherine McPhee turns 32 years old today. Actress Jenny Slate is 34. Actor Lee Pace is 37. Did you ever watch Pushing Daisies?
Absolutely.
I loved that show.
Fantastic show.
He was great on it. Sarah Jessica Parker is 51 years old today.
Oh, that awful nose. Such long face. Like horse.
Yes. Well, look. She's just as God made her. We're all just people, right?
We're all just people.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Not beautiful,
lovely
but
woman.
Talented and lovely. She seems like a wonderful person.
Yeah.
And that's more important, really.
It really?
And she could run really fast on all fours.
Oh, my God, I hate you.
And if you have a plow, if you happen to be a person who still plows, she comes in very handy because she can drop out of the house and she'll pull that plow for you. She'll hoe your field in a matter of minutes.
You're horrible.
Elton John is 69 years old today. And singer Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, 74 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
I regret that our listeners could not be in the room to hear Ralph try to explain to Allie how helicopters work, because it was not a confusing concept, yet she couldn't seem to get her head around that you go from one place to another place in a helicopter.
Not what I was confused about, but okay.
Explaining gravity to a dog.
Oh, how dare
you.
Very
strange. All right, let's take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Means, what's good? I always look forward to this. Let's start with Gary. He's in North Hollywood. He's calling about the story, Ralph, that you also had some doubts about the woman who wrapped up the poop in her purse.
Oh, the lie.
She
the lie story,
the,
you mean.
Totally we don't know
fake.
That it's a lie,
it's
but
totally
Gary wants to weigh in on it. Gary, what say you, sir?
All right, well, she forgot to mention the second piece of poop that is the story that she's trying to peddle on.
Oh, snap, Gary. Drop the mic.
Why is this story fake?
Well, because, A, it's hogwash. It ain't fake. It's hogwash. And here's why.
Okay.
If you're going to meet somebody in a supermarket, as she proclaims, then they expect you to take a poop in their home. B, poop, therefore, fake story.
Yes. Here's my thought, too, about the story is, you wrap up your business there and you put it in your purse. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does the purse just, is it hermetically sealed? Is there not just something wafting out of that purse that about 15 minutes into the makeout session, any reasonable person is going to go, what the hell? Did you step on something in the way into my apartment?
Yeah, you would think.
Come on. You're absolutely right.
Come on.
Ralph, what were her other options, though, Ralph?
To not make up a fake story?
To not lie to us on Twitter? Maybe that was an option she didn't.
But let's just say she did. She made the poop and she couldn't flush. Then what? I mean, she wasn't going to leave it there. I understand why that would be horrific for her date to then come in after her and she's got a floater. She didn't want to put it in the trash can. It made sense. I mean, I thought that was a reasonable punt, was to wrap it up and put it in her purse for a few minutes.
A few minutes?
You're still not buying it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Out the window. How about tossing it out the window?
Gary, thank you for the call. Let's try Andy. He's listening in Modesto, of all places, you guys. The garden spot of the Golden State. Welcome, Andy. What's going on?
What are you saying?
You work for the Modesto Tourism Board?
How can we help you? What's good?
Oh, man. I got to tell you, I've been through some hell in the last 2 weeks. I lost a job. Oh. And I got like 60 days to find another one. I have two interviews lined up. But it's just like another like mini tragedy in the last 5 years that is in my existence. It's just been really rough.
I am very sorry to hear that. What kind of work do you do? What's your skill set?
My skill set, I honestly, it's mostly just retail and customer service.
Right.
probably the worst thing I could possibly do to myself, considering I have little patience for impatient people.
But having said that, I feel like there are thousands of retail outlets. So it's not like you've got the kind of job where you have to be hired by one of two companies to work. I mean, there are lots of places you can go to run a cash register. So that at least is working in your favor, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I have managerial experience as well. It's just the stress that I'm under. Sometimes it's pretty crippling. Like this morning, it's just like, oh, my God, what do I do next? What do I do next? Am I doing enough? Did I apply enough? Am I hitting enough doors? Am I clicking the right links and the right apps? And I got to say, though, your morning show is what got me through my stressful job before I was fired, and it's actually helping me through this right now. So I just want to thank you guys.
Oh, that's nice, Andy.
That is very sweet.
You know, Andy, the good news is Bean is willing to give you a loan if you need any money. He'll cut
you
a
big piece
of cash.
Just big piece of cash. Speak out of turn right there.
He'll give you some cash just to tide you over until you come up with something new. Just
kind of making that up.
I'll give you Bean's personal info, and you can contact him directly, because he told me off air he'd like to
I don't think that'll happen. But let me just say this, Andy, in all seriousness, and I very much appreciate you calling. I think you are going to be fine, and here's why. Because you're that worried about it, that you're not a guy like so many other people in a tough work environment who just sit around and wait for a job to come to them. You sound like a hustler. You sound like a guy who's dedicated to finding a job and spending the time and knocking on the right doors. And I think you're going to be fine because you're a motivated person, and I wish you the best, my friend.
Thank you guys so much. Been a long time listener. Actually, I'm a SoCal native. I really miss SoCal. Hopefully I end up back there real soon. Take care. And by the way, the poop story is a lie. Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you very much for
you're a right-thinking American.
A lot of people hate this lady for just making the best of a bad situation.
Or for lying to us, maybe. That's why we hate her.
Let's try, is it Yarub, I want to say? Yarub is his name? Lincoln Heights, line 6, please.
Yarub.
I don't think we've ever had a Yarub on the show before. How are you, sir?
Yeah, it's actually a pronounced Yarev, and I'm doing well for being
Yarev.
Yarev.
All right, what's good? What can we do for you?
What's good? I was just going to kind of mention you guys. I've been listening to you guys since I was a middle kid, probably about 5, 6 years old.
Mm.
And I still don't have any idea what you guys look like.
All right, you're very lucky, first of all.
That's a blessing. Yeah.
That is a blessing. I hope you're not complaining. But why haven't you spent the 5 seconds it would take to Google it or go to Kerrock.com and see if you're curious?
Exactly. I guess I've just never been that curious. I like to picture you guys as. I guess I.
I, really, I guess I just don't care.
Yeah, I really don't. I really don't.
No, this is the absolute right attitude to have. I cannot find any fault in this.
Yeah, I'd like to just imagine you guys as, what are those guys' names? Beavis and Butthead.
Very similar.
Not far off.
I think people should be free to imagine us however they wish that we looked, because I promise you that we don't look that way. All right, you are awesome, and I thank you for the call, sir. Let's squeeze in another one. Let's try Trent Riverside, please, line 4. Man, I'm getting just calls from all over California today. What's going on, Trent?
Morning, Bean. Morning, Chi Bean. Morning, Ralph.
Hey,
morning, Trent.
I was calling because I don't know. I usually get to listen to you guys at about 8 o'clock, so I don't get to hear the early morning part of your show. But I haven't heard any mention of the show Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. So I was curious if you guys had had the time to catch it.
It is one of my favorite things about Sunday.
Yes,
love it.
It's great.
It really is. And the great part about it, for those people who either don't have HBO or don't have the time on Sunday, is that he uploads his main topic onto YouTube. So you would be able to watch it. And I think the most interesting ones that he's done recently are his Donald Trump. And this last week, he actually pointed out all the flaws in his border wall argument. And it's really great to see somebody who's not just trying to be super biased one side, but also points out the facts using sources and everything else.
He's very entertaining and also very educational. He is also super biased, by the way. But I will tell you that he's funny. And I'm so impressed with him, because when he left The Daily Show to go off to do his own show, I thought, where's the lane? What's left for him to do that isn't already being done on The Daily Show in terms of a news and information type show? But he has managed to come up with a show that's different from anything else on the air. Mm-hmm. And do you love it too, Ralph, like
we
do?
Yes, very smart. And
so good. So
it's hard to find a combination like that of somebody who's that smart and also that funny.
Yeah, we talk so much about how we're at peak TV right now, and it's just impossible to watch all the stuff that's even good on the air. And that's a perfect example of a show that might not be on everybody's radar, but should be, because it's really funny. And I'm glad you called to tell us that, Trent. All right, we're out of time for now. Good batch of calls. Thanks, you guys. We'll be right back on K-Rock. What good? You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks again to Weezer for stopping by the K-Rock Red Bull Sound Space a couple of days ago, putting on a fantastic performance. They were so good, as they always are. Very excited about their White Album coming out soon. Ralph, you should be nervous that you're starting to see the younger generation come up and kind of challenge your crown with the voice work here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Nervous? Yeah. I'm resigned. I mean, I've been beaten, and I have accepted it, and now I know my place.
I mean, it happens to, you know, everybody. Every champion in sports sees, you know, you got Kobe Bryant on the way out, and then you have a new crop of rising basketball superstars on the way up, and you just understand.
Joe Montana leaves, then Steve Young is there.
Exactly.
Know what I mean?
So that's the way it goes. So you've been doing the voices for a long time here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and you've been great at it. But we found out this week that there is waiting in the wings a voice talent like no other, and it is our friend Beer Mug who joins us in the studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I had no idea, Muggs, that you had this in you until we met Johnny Chicago earlier.
Johnny
in the
Chicago,
week.
Our new favorite character on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you for all the kind words.
It's shocking. First of all, that you have any talent, but that you have that kind of talent was really stunning.
Wow. Well, I'm gonna try my best here. I think overall, in the end, Ralph has nothing to worry about.
Can you give us a little Johnny Chicago?
For those who are
new
to Johnny, who haven't heard him this week yet, but he's been on the show a couple times this week.
Sure, Johnny Chicago popped up when I had a Chicago dog over at the Shake Shack over there.
Right?
I love it.
Johnny Chicago.
And
Johnny also did the lineup for
Lollapalooza,
which is a pretty grand park there in Chicago, and also for all the new casting they're doing for the Chicago shows with Dick Wolf. So he's coming very handy this week.
All right, so once we met Johnny Chicago, we thought, well, clearly that's not all Beer Mug has to offer, and that's why we present for you right now Beer Mug, the man of a thousand voices. So Beer Mug, Mark, Man of a Thousand Accents, really, yes, is what it's called.
Because we did a little digging after we heard Johnny Chicago, and we said, do you do any other voices? And he's like, yeah, I can do some. And he started doing some other accents in the room. We said, it's unbelievable. He's got an endless supply of spot-on regional accents that we can lean on here on the show.
Yeah. This is fantastic. All right. So you're going to throw out the suggestions. Beer Mug has not seen the list, has not had time to prepare any of these, but
we have the Wheel of Johnny here. We've got the Wheel of Johnny. All of the regional accents are on the wheel. We're going to spin the wheel, and it comes up.
I love it.
We'll tell Johnny, and he'll just knock one out of the park.
I'll try.
All right, let's do it.
I had Johnny Chicago, so that's taken care of. Ooh, Johnny Germany. Johnny Germany.
Johnny Germany.
I'm looking forward to hearing that one.
Oh, yeah. We are very happy to see you. And we're going to eat breakfast and drink Hefeweizen. And this is hurting my throat, so I'm going to stop it now, yeah?
Uncanny. Uncanny.
Johnny German, all right.
It's like being in Berlin.
It really is.
During the war. All right, let's see what we got here.
I wish Beer Mug were in Germany during
how
the war.
How dare you?
I'm just suggesting.
Boston Johnny. Oh, Boston Johnny.
Do me proud.
Are you going to go to a Red Sox game later? I'm going to park my car over there in the yard over there. Mixing Chicago. See, I can't.
Yeah.
Boston.
Try it again.
This is wicked good, bro. Yeah, bro. Wicked.
Now you're just doing the whale guy.
You're doing the guy on the boat with the fish, right?
In that video.
Yeah, I'm out. I suck at Boston.
Wow.
I'm not.
Once again, his talent knows no ends.
Beer Mug, Man of a Thousand Accents.
And his commitment to character, too, by the way. Not just his innate natural talent.
He's out of character once he's in. Johnny Russia. Johnny Russia. I had
Johnny
no idea
Russia.
That was part of your repertoire.
Why, yes, I am Johnny Russia. Would you like to drink vodka or vodka or whatever you want to drink? Because I am Johnny Russia.
Out of empire. I was hoping we might see you as a new agent on the new season of The Americans, but maybe that's not going to happen.
Not going to hit it. No?
Yeah. All right. Let's see what else. What his talents have in store for us.
A lot of depth here. A lot of width, too. Look at Beer Mug.
How dare you.
Johnny Brooklyn. Oh,
Johnny Brooklyn.
Oh. Hey, how you doing? I'm Johnny Brooklyn. Hey, let's go get some New York pizza. We'll go catch a Yankees game. Maybe we'll go over to the Bronx. Maybe we'll go to the, the Queens Zoo over there. What do you mean the phone lines are over there?
The what?
What do you mean the
phone lines at the zoo?
What?
At the zoo?
That was the line I took from Ghostbusters. Oh. Ghostbusters 2.
Okay. All right. Johnny Brooklyn.
How am I
right
doing
there
so far?
Uncanny.
Got time for maybe a couple more here.
Of your talent.
I love it.
It's like the Mariana Trench. That's how deep your talent goes. Three people are laughing hysterically at that.
I am not one of them.
Johnny Scotland. Oh,
Johnny Scotland.
No, I love not Johnny my people. Scotland.
I am Johnny Scotland, and I'm here to water your lawn.
Why does
you Scottish guy have
lawn
to be a landscaper?
Are because
you
just... it's a commercial I saw on television where the Scottish guy waters your lawn.
Oh, that's right, the Scottish commercial. All right, one more for the Man of a Thousand Accents. Right.
I don't want to end.
Oh, wow. Johnny Oslo. Johnny Oslo, Sweden. It's a Swedish accent for
that's
Johnny Oslo.
Norway. That's actually Norway.
It's Johnny Sweden. Johnny Sweden.
Yeah, Johnny Sweden, yeah. I'll put the Swedish meatballs.
Where'd you put them?
In my pants, yeah. Would you like to go to IKEA later, yeah? Swedish?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here all night.
Beer Mug, Man of a Thousand Accents. Beer Mug, Man of a Thousand Accents. Beer Mug, Man of a Thousand Accents.
Woo!
You're going to get us out of here with a great showbiz beat so we can end the show on a positive note for the day and for the week here on K-Rock? Are you, Ralph?
Nope.
Not doing any of that. Okay.
Nope. You're going to get the same old S.
All right. Well, we'll enjoy it anyway because it'll be the last one.
Yeah. Sad news. Of course, everyone's still talking about the death of Gary Shandling yesterday. Really? Really? that we need the tube of death for Gary Shandling?
I am legitimately very sad. I was a big fan of
Mr. Shandling. We can tell by your sensitivity.
Sorry to see him go.
Passed away at the age of 66, apparently from a massive heart attack, some sort of coronary issue. And he did it all. He did stand-up. He wrote. He acted. Produced. He was quite a talent, and by all accounts, just as nice as he was talented, as Jimmy Kimmel made a point of tweeting yesterday. So, a real loss. Affected so many comedians who were coming up watching him that he really changed the landscape of certainly television comedy. Sitcoms were never the same after the Gary Shandling Show and the Larry Sanders Show, after he sort of deconstructed both of those television formats and changed the way people made television. So it's really sad that he has passed. But the good news is HBO has announced that Larry Sanders Show is returning to HBO. It's been hard to see for a number of years. They're going to put it in reruns on their network and also be able to stream it via HBO Go. So
it still holds up, too.
It absolutely does.
I went through a bunch of episodes yesterday. I was pulling some audio for earlier, and I couldn't believe how much of it I did not remember and how incredibly funny it was.
The only difference is now it's hard to appreciate how cutting edge that was.
Oh, groundbreaking.
How that... We didn't have access to behind-the-scenes stuff of what was happening in the world of television. Television was still very much a performance medium where you just saw what they wanted you to see, what they put in front of the cameras. And we didn't have TMZ, and we didn't have behind-the-scenes, and there wasn't a million shows about what was happening in show business. It was the first time someone sort of pulled that curtain back and showed you what was going on behind the scenes on the television talk show. And just it changed everything in a big way.
Yeah. So. And I was so, so sad that it happened. He was so young, but it just seems so sudden. I mean, it's possible he had some health issues that we didn't know about. But can you just have a heart attack out of the blue and have no idea that there's anything wrong with your heart?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Really? I don't know
it
anything about heart attacks.
Hundreds.
Well, it's not about knowing about heart attacks. About just walking amongst us for a number of years, you just learn this stuff, don't you?
But I thought, don't you find out if you've got blockages in your heart or something like that?
Usually, after you have a heart attack, you find that out.
Yeah, it's very hard to ascertain what kind of condition your arteries are.
Because apparently he was feeling fine Thursday morning. Yeah. Yesterday morning he was on the phone with friends, making plans.
You ever heard the phrase, someone dropped dead of a heart attack? That happens when you don't know anything's going on. It's just, it's sudden onset.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Sometimes you throw a clot or something if you've got arterial sclerosis or whatever.
I don't like that you can spend a lot of time and make a lot of effort to remain healthy and just wake up one day like any other day and don't make it to sundown. I don't like that a bit.
Heart disease is the number one cause of death in women. It's everywhere. People die all the time
of
heart
it.
Attacks.
Stop it. Or let us choose who dies and who stays so we don't leave people like
you. For a man who follows death as closely as you seem oddly confused about the whole process.
I don't know a lot about medicine. I just that's not an area I'm well-versed in. I'm sorry. Well, I'll look into it.
I think Bean's frustrated because there's a lack of control when it comes to death. You can't you can't schedule it. You can't go to IHOP on a Tuesday and then plan your death for Wednesday. It's just willy-nilly, just random.
Well, I don't think anybody wants to leave a lot of loose ends. You have things you want to do in your life. You have things you want to say. You
but you always do. No matter when you come to the end, you're not done. Nobody says, you know what, I'm finished now. I'm looking forward to cashing.
Right, but what I'm saying is, as opposed to our guest yesterday, the comedian Quincy Jones, they gave him a year to live. Okay, that's a time period that you can work with and you can get your business in order.
So he's got a year to dread it. He's got a year to count down the
clock. But he's also got a year to make every day count and to do things and be with people that, you know, that are meaningful to him, at least. As opposed to thinking you have all the time in the world and not knowing the day you wake up, like happened to Gary Shandling yesterday. Hey, today's my last day. I'm not going to see who wins the college basketball tournament. You know,
well,
you don't know.
Well,
glad you get your priorities straight, because that's what's important, finding out who wins March Madness.
Here's the thing with Gary Shandling. Being a Buddhist, he was living his best life every day.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure he was on the right path of not having the regrets that someone living their life, and you get a brain aneurysm, boom, you're gone.
Right.
It's just a reminder, live your life like it's your last day.
All still doing this dumb show then? If we're living every day like it's our last day, tell me why we're on the air.
And if you had a year, Bean, you wouldn't change anything. You would just watch more television and read more internet.
So but not about health issues.
It makes
apparently.
No, makes no difference really when you go. Either way, it's all
God.
The same.
All right.
I'm exhausted.
Ugh, it's the worst, right? Can you still hear us?
I can hear you guys. Oh, yes, okay. I'm still.
Let me pick things up for you a little bit. Let me make your life a little bit happier.
Okay.
All right. Sure. There's the sour in life. But what about the sweet? What about the sweet, sweet news that for their 20th anniversary, the Spice Girls are reuniting? Yeah. No. Yeah. Come on.
I mean,
the
yeah.
kids aren't cheering. Nothing's happening.
The Spice Girls are good, and they're back together. Some of them.
They're planning a reunion tour to celebrate their 20th anniversary. And so far, Scary, Sporty, Baby, and Ginger are all on board. Now, Posh, right? The worst.
Just the worst.
She is not apparently so eager to participate. However, a source tells Us Weekly magazine they are still in talks with Victoria and are trying to convince her to come on board. But she is dragging her high heels. So
I hope she does it just to make Spice Girls fans happy.
But you know what? It's going to happen whether she's on board or not. And really, right. Posh, what do you miss? If Posh isn't there, what are you missing out on? Really?
Her
in other words, you don't care.
Her dour face. She can stand there just not smile and look like she's not having a good time.
Yeah.
Whatever, I say. Give me the good four. That's a trap.
Ali, if you could put any band back together where the members are still alive, a band that broke up, but you get to make a reunion tour happen, who's your band?
It would be Led Zeppelin, but drummer's not alive, but his son could do it.
Close enough, yeah. Zeppelin would be a good one?
Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd, for sure. I want to see David Gilmour up there again.
All right.
With Roger Waters.
Ralph, how about you? Spice Girls, are they pretty near the tops of your list? You got somebody else?
Look, most bands, when you get them back together again, aren't nearly what they were when they were at the peak of their powers.
Sure.
So it's almost always a disappointment. So that, I'm not the guy who does that. But in the case of the Spice Girls, you know, it's been 20 years that they've been performing off and on for all that time. And they're still young enough and energetic enough to replicate what they did. So
Oasis is what you're saying?
Yeah. So Bay City Rollers, I guess.
Who's yours, Bean?
Got to be Rage Against the Machine, honestly, because
they're so young,
and I feel like they could have been making great music for this last 10 years or however long it's been, and I feel like we're really missing out on some great records. I feel like we're really being cheated by the fact that those guys just can't work it out, whatever their differences are, and because I think if they got together, they would still be great.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Chip?
Flobots, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was a tough loss when they broke up.
Oh. Someone fell off their bicycle? Was that what happened? I kind of know they broke
I think that's exactly it.
They got to use the handlebars, for God's sakes.
I mean, it was right there in the song. All they had to do was pay attention.
Asia already got back together, so my dreams were already fulfilled. So I
sure, yeah, once Asia's back together.
Man. Heat of the moment, right, bitches?
Right.
You ain't kidding.
Let's take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Ali McCulka. Yeah. That's a good one, right in the back of the throat.
Right?
Yeah.
What was that, Crusty?
Allie getting out of a clown car? She's 27 years old today.
The bell wasn't enough for her. I had to add a little at the back of it.
Big Sean is 28. Catherine McPhee turns 32 years old today. Jenny Slate turns 34. Lee Pace, 37 years old today. Elton John turns 69. Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, is 74 years old. And actress Sarah Jessica Parker celebrates her 51st birthday. I'm getting some...
Horse, of course, but no one can talk to a horse, of course, that is, unless the horse, of course, is Sarah Jessica Parker. Whoa, Sarah. Down, girl. Down.
We're getting some testy tweets regarding our tributes to Sarah Jessica Parker this morning.
Oh, from nice humans that see the kindness in others.
Just how dare you? You should know better. And so
you should.
I want you to know I heard your complaints, and I'm saying, whoa. I'm going to pull back on the reins on these jokes, and I'm not going to go any further.
Oh, you are horrible.
I think it's just downright disgusting, the poor abuse you guys heap on Sarah Jessica Parker, saying she's a horse-faced, saying she's Secretariat, making fun of her,
that. I'm sorry.
You were just being mean for the sake of being mean.
You're right.
Now, if you don't mind, I have to go have lunch with Kabori Sidibe.
Sir, that's
just turned ugly.
couldn't help it. I was feeling my oats today. You know what I'm saying? It's just,
You're a rotten human being.
Pretty little face.
I'm Ralph
Garman.
Rodney. I want the show to speed.
Yeah, you are, and yeah, you do. Thanks so much, Ralph. A lot of fun this week. I wasn't ready. Okay, go ahead and play this. Talk about stuff on the show next week, but Chip's got a date, apparently.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We were like, what?
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know how ladies can get.
Roll another one.
Holy mackerel.
Just like the other one.
Yeah.
This one seems to be a loud quit.
But you're wrong.
And need another hit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, there are no words. I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Roll another one.
What's the, how come?
Just like the other one.
Kevin, goddamn it.
This one seems to be about to quit there, Bobby. Janet, you got that?
I'm going to quote a great man here. Say, daddy like me.
I'm not surprised, mother...
Just pass it on down there,
Bob. Or around, whatever. My friend
created a monster.
Knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously.
Yeah! Get the... out of my house right now. Get the f*** out. Get out. Get out of my house right now. Leave.
Leave. Leave and leave.
I was disappointed. I was sad. I was embarrassed.
Hey, let's be professional.
I was being professional, okay? The whole time. Blood, sweat, and tears I gave you guys for over 4 hours, right? And now this is the... I mean, I know it's a business, but at least... Okay, where do I go?
Is there anything else you would like to add to that?
No, there's nothing to add. What's to add? What is to add?
Smell it.